Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 197, the Thanksgiving Eve edition. Actually, I'm going to remember to take this home along with the cord so I can get this
uploaded
tomorrow. So you guys don't have to wait. I don't want you to wait. Plus, there's no way I can do it Friday.
Plus, they're not going to hear this until after, so...
They'll hear this before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I'll get it up tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Thanksgiving starts at midnight.
You start eating at midnight?
The holiday starts at midnight.
I'll get it up. I'll put it up tonight.
There we go. He'll get it up on midnight.
I caught myself.
Not the first time. You can't title the podcast. That's that witty banter.
If it's in the podcast, you can title it that.
Oh, Adam's last podcast. Is it? I'm free?
Adam, I have bad news for you.
I'm free.
So, but it is Thanksgiving Eve, or the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. This was a crazy busy Wednesday, which I like.
Yeah, it felt like a light Wednesday for me, at least with books.
You know, it was a mixture. I mean, my invoice was huge, but that's because I got almost $2,000 in statues.
You sold them all?
Sold two. Oh. It's okay.
Well, how many statues does that $2,000 get you? Because, like, the Harley Quinn was an expensive statue.
Well, the Harley, there was the five $350 statues and then five $250 statues.
Is the $250 the Her and Joker?
Yeah.
The $351 is a very nice statue.
Yes, that's the Harley on the motorcycle. Mm-hmm. So,
be better with the sidecar.
Really nice.
But that's like...
That one's $450.
Was that the sidecar one?
I have one of those coming.
Is that the one? Is there a hyena?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Barry was
I have that one coming, but it's four something. So I only ordered one of that one. I mean, like, my invoice was huge, but once you take that into consideration, I mean, it was a solid week. Marvel really kind of took the week off, though. You had Moon Girl. You had
with Devil
Venom.
Sure,
with Devil
yeah. No, Moon
with Short Chan Chan.
Sorry, Silk. He's got a whole... Carnage, Venom.
So it was like a Spider-Man week.
I think that was about it.
Did you sell out of Silk?
That was about it. I may have, but I didn't order many. Oh. I mean, I ordered basically how the last issue sold. I'll editorialize about that a little bit later. But I just don't have a lot of confidence in them right now. But we'll get to that in a minute. Let's introduce everybody. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
And returning...
Rich.
Who's been hiding for a while. I don't know why. Someone said something. Pat.
I'm sure everybody missed me.
He didn't argue it because he says,
I probably did.
I guess just a little editorial. I was having a discussion with...
Did we get the name for this segment?
That's right. We forgot.
We got the only email I got was spam.
No, we didn't give them the contest. We said, start thinking about it. We'll tell you what the contest is today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because you said I put you on a spot last week.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't put me on a spot. I have a very long day today.
That's why he gave you the whole week to figure it out.
Yeah.
Maybe next week.
It's not putting you on a spot when you have a week's notice.
Right. Remember anything after this? Email me. Remind me.
Tune in next week.
He doesn't remember being
when he
here.
Forgets
for
again.
For realsies this time.
Once he gets into his car, he's like, why am I in that car? Like, he's not.
Colin hates Marvel.
Disney.
No, the discussion was a lady who used to live here and now lives out in California was watching Jessica Jones and commented online saying, wait a minute, Trish is actually Patsy Walker. And I said... I said it wasn't made clear. I'm confused then because they're coming out with a Patsy Walker book, and I assumed it was going to tie into the show. That was the whole reason for it.
It didn't, but...
And then I made a comment just saying, I'm not sure who they're marketing this to. She responded back, you have a problem with books with strong female characters. And I said, no,
Tom
I don't...
Said, yes, I do.
No, I said, I don't have a problem with that at all. My problem is...
With weak books with strong female characters.
No, not even that. My problem is we have, I think it's now 13 books with female leads.
Just Marvel. Yeah.
Where before they had virtually none. I'm going to say when we had the New 52... I remember DC coming out with some, and Marvel had virtually nothing. So my concern is they're just really throwing this stuff out there. There's just too many books that are thrown out there. What's your problem with it?
What is wrong with this action figure? Right?
Well, I'm sure the hands move.
But the way it's in the box, it's like she's saying,
it's
here's my vagina.
Title on the box.
Josh says
it is. It looks like she's just...
Okay.
Hi, I'm Batman. Hi, I'm Robin. Hey, I'm the Penguin. Oh, you got me. I'm Joker. I'm Catwoman, and here's my vagina. That is essentially how her body language is in this packaging.
Buy the Batman 66 Bendables today. It's a commercial for him. Good.
I use the friendly words, the medical terms, so it's fine.
Yeah, he's right.
It's okay.
It's true. He did.
He did. Mm-hmm. So
no, but basically my argument was just that there's just so much stuff that they're throwing out there with doesn't seem to be any plan. I mean, the Squirrel Girl and Silk and Spider-Woman, Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel, Angela, A-Force.
I think it's on
Gamora. Sorry. I always get that wrong.
Big Turtle.
I'd rather read that book. So, and that's where I said it's just this book just seems to be thrown out there. And my concern isn't that there's too many books. One, well, it's really hard for me to order. And I said there's, you know, with the burgeoning new female readership, of which she took an attitude with, I said no, but it's one that the publishers are seeing and addressing specifically. This clearly is someone saying we need more female character books. You don't go from 0 to 13 otherwise. But I said my problem is, half of these are going to crash and burn.
Right.
And when they do, then all of a sudden the higher-ups at Marvel go, wait, 6 of the 13 failed? There must not be a female readership. And move on, instead of carefully cultivating 5 solid books that are branching out from other books. Like, you have the character first appear in Avengers, then spin off to their own book.
Well, Silk did do that.
Silk did do that. But now we already have our second number one in, what, 12 issues?
And yeah, that's...
So...
My biggest concern with this, with Marvel in particular, is that they'd bring something out like this, and all these female books, and they just throw them out there, like you're saying. But then the female audience that isn't really seeing that and saying, hey, they're just throwing it out there, they're not really making a good story, or they're just throwing anything out there.
But they're also not going to buy all 13 issues.
Yeah, that too. But I just take more offense to that they're not even trying really with these characters.
But I think the other thing is, it's not just female characters. There's all kinds of crap that they came out with.
Oh, absolutely. And that'll get to some of my reviews.
Yeah, that no one wants to read, but, you know, oh, well, we'll just throw all these titles out. It doesn't mean no men buy your comic books. It's you put crap out there that no one wants to read.
I look at it, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's exactly that. And I also look at it that, you know, they're doing this, yeah, but they're it's almost like they're doing it because they think they have to, not because they really want to make a good story dealing with a female character.
But when Gail Simone wrote Batgirl.
Yeah.
I liked the book.
Exactly.
And then when it switched to a younger demographic, it just wasn't for me anymore. It's not that it was bad. It just wasn't for me, so I don't read it.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with the book. But, again, not for me.
Yeah.
But my problem is... But
That's not an audience that I'm going to read. But there are female, you know, customers are going to come in here.
Yeah, the book's good, a different audience.
Right. So that's fine. But that has... You didn't lose me because you wrote a bad book. You lost me because I'm just not the intended audience.
Which I think they know. They whenever they make that change, they know they're changing the complete tone and feel of the book, and they're going to get a new audience out of it, or lose some of their existing audience.
Now, like in the Batgirl situation, my sales have probably dropped by half since the change, because a lot of the people like you that were getting it aren't getting it now, and there haven't been enough people, new people, to pick it
right
up. I don't know nationally where its sales are, how it's doing, so I can't.
It's okay.
I can't. I mean, as far as how it's
but
changed,
that's what you got to do. If you're saying we're going to change,
and not
the
just
tone.
The first week or
no,
the first.
No, I mean,
month.
I think in the monthly, you know, sales figures, it's still done all right.
Okay.
Your new sales have to offset your losses, otherwise, it doesn't make sense to make a change.
But and I'm not saying change is bad, but it, with a lot of it's like Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. What's the market for that? You know, who is that aimed at? Is it the same people getting Silk and Spider-Gwen and Ms. Marvel? And, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
It just seems there's just so much coming out. Because they just announced a new I don't even know what the hell that is. Like, they just announced New Mockingbird, which is great, because she's familiar from, you know, she's been around. She's from Agents and S.H.I.E.L.D. That one I understand.
Dave just saw Batgirl 45 is number 80 out of the top 100.
Okay, but where was it before? I mean, that sounds probably about where it was. So. Look at Dave coming up. Boom. You need something? There's Dave.
You just got Dave.
Let's call it the calculator.
Okay. So, there's also a store. There's a multi-chain store that has started. Well, they've been doing this for a little while, but where they'll post their internal memo about ordering stuff, because he'll get input from all of his store managers on books and seeing where previous ones have sold. And as far as when books are on FOC, just to give us some insight, which I really liked getting, because I'd be hearing all this hype about a book and thinking it's going to do well, or maybe it's just not doing well, it's something I'm doing wrong, and then to see his response saying, yeah, that one tanked, that was a dog, it didn't do anything. It's like, okay, I'm not the only one where this one didn't sell, or the only one where this one looks really bad, why are people talking it up? And it learned me not to listen to taught me not to listen to the hype.
It learned me.
This week he did a rant. But just talking about why is Marvel just throwing so much out there and basically telling us, don't get caught in the hype. These aren't all going to be winners, and you know, vote with your what you think will sell. You know, if there's a 1 in 25 variant, but you only think you're going to sell 10, order 10. And if you sell out and can't get more, well, good job. You're sold out.
It's just hype.
You know,
but he made a good point though that Marvel knows all of these are not going to be winners. Just the same as when DC revamped their line, they know all those are not going to be winners.
But the difference is DC made them returnable, so the risk was on them, not on us.
Yes. On issue one.
Right.
But here's the other thing. Marvel's double shipping anyway, so they're not just going to get you for one. They're going to get you for one and two.
Normally, well, and sometimes even three where I have to...
What?
The Dorbs smiley, happy Freddy Krueger and Leatherface.
He always wanted a smiley and Pinhead.
At least Jason's but yeah, it's smiling.
Just there's just so much stuff being thrown out there right now. It's just really, really hard for me to order. And sadly, I've kind of taken the position of I'm cutting way back. When something like Drax, I sold 3 copies where I thought that would have some pull, CM Punk that might do pretty well, and I ordered 25. To sell 3 really makes me very cautious.
Okay, but because a guy can wrestle
doesn't
mean he can write a comic
book. But when
he
did the Thor annual, I sold like 20% more than I did of a regular Thor. So, and normally...
and then they realized he can't write that well.
Well, I mean, he's not even writing. He's plotting and somebody else is writing. But... I thought his name would have some weight.
Right.
But then also, like, Star-Lord tanked. You know, sold, like, 5 copies. So it's just a lot of these are selling really, really poorly. Because I think in the long run, you guys don't know what they are either. And at $4 a pop or $5 a pop, it's much easier just to pass and get what you know.
Well, but the other thing, you know, they redid their whole line at once. I'm not going to...
Spinning out an event that hasn't finished.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go ahead and just start getting, you know, 40 new books. You know, if you come out with 2 or 3 new titles a month, you could get me on board.
Right.
There's not much of an investment there, but
well, and
I
then
can't
by
do
this book
once.
For February, we're done. There's one new book in that. So we're done with the number ones.
Well, that assumes nothing slips, and it's really hard for
them
to
try to... But it's just their fanfare's over now. So now that they don't have number ones to hype, they're going to move on to their next event, which will probably be coming out, you know, in March.
Well, no, they got Civil War that they're hyping in the back.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah, they're re-releasing all the trades for Civil War.
Well, that's just for the movie. But I'm saying I think there might be another Civil War.
Yeah, there is. There's another. That's going to be their new event.
But so, you can't get stuck with the hype, though, because if you can't order by that. I mean, anything anymore, nowadays, because everything is hype.
But that goes back to our pre-sale thing, where... Or the pre-order thing, where there's a lot of times that's all I have to go on, and it's a very much a gut feel.
And that's why it would work better for you. I know you mentioned this a lot. If people will just give you an idea of what they want, that way you're guaranteed what you get.
I've started,
and then get whatever you need to on the shelf, and then if that sells out, you either don't have it anymore or you know, you read.
I will say a lot of Marvel stuff has been available where it hasn't been before, but I just got more Iron Man number ones in today.
Yeah, that's I was thinking that too.
It's odd because for years it was a case of you couldn't if you sold out it was gone.
Yeah.
So you had to aim a little higher, but now
it's almost like nowadays you really have to reevaluate though, like what you're how you're ordering just because of hype and then all of that.
Well,
like,
there's a lot definitely a lot more playing it safe.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So that's my editorial. Oh, the only other thing I want to talk about, it was really weird this week, checking in the trades and the Marvel trades specifically, because a lot of the Secret Wars trades were only four issues. Daredevil was only four issues. Actually, the Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde trade was only three issues. And they're just so thin, it's just dramatic.
Yeah.
And my concern is, you know, you guys at home will come in and pick one up to buy and just be like, wow, there's just nothing there.
I think the Daredevil trade is about the size of what the Young Terrorist first issue was.
Yeah.
That was, I think, $7.99.
Yeah.
That's $15.
But I think they would have been much better off doing what like DC did with Convergence and combine some of them. Put Guardians of Nowhere and Kitty Pryde in the same book, because just the value's not there. You pick it up and you're just, whoa. And I'm just worried I'm going to have a shelf full of unsellable trades.
They would have just raised the price even more on that.
Yeah,
that's one of my concerns.
It would have been a $40 trade at that point.
It would have been worse than that. I was surprised they didn't combine some of those, because like with DC, they combined Convergence, which made perfect sense.
Yeah, but they did that by error. They did pre-Flashpoint.
And they were also only two-issue books, but some of these don't deserve their own
Or book. Even Flashpoint, they did that too. They combined them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those minis, yeah.
Who knows what they're
doing. There you go. So end of rant. Pat, do you have any news? Anything happen? Was there a trailer that possibly came out yesterday?
Maybe he's not ready.
There was actually two.
Two?
Well, two this week, but we'll talk about the first one. Civil War released their trailer yesterday. Or last night, and I didn't watch it till today. But
poster.
Yeah, and actually there were three different posters.
Yeah, there's a bunch
of
posters, yeah.
I thought it was good. It did what it was supposed to do. It kind of let you know, at least initially, who's on
what side,
and you know, a little bit about what the theme of it is. It looks like Avengers 2.5, but certainly Cap-centered more than Avengers was. No glimpse of Spider-Man, which is not a surprise.
Nah, you're not going to see that.
But I am surprised we didn't see Vision or Ant-Man.
It is odd that you didn't see him, because remember that scene in the trailer where they're all kind of like walking out of a building? You see like Wanda, and you see... you didn't see him, though.
Which she flew. That was the other cool thing, was she finally used her powers to fly. We didn't see Ant-Man, and we didn't see Vision, which... Vision, I would think, would have been Team Stark.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah,
but I think Ant-Man would firmly be in Team Cap.
He'd be a cool character to switch in between just because of how he thinks.
Vision?
You know, where he'd all of a sudden come to think of it and he'd be like, oh, you know what? It's better to be on
Well, I think he's going to start on Team Stark, and then
switch
him and Wanda is going to do what they be doing. And, you know, he'll
Same
he'll
director
switch.
As the Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Because they did a good job with Winter Soldier.
They did.
Better Avengers maybe than Avengers too.
Yeah. And then the other trailer that came out this week was a Legends of Tomorrow trailer.
Yeah,
oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
Again, it just kind of sets up with what the story's basically about. It's going to be them going back in time with Rip Hunter to stop Vandal Savage. What I find ironic about it is they talk about how they don't want anybody to change the time stream because it can have catastrophic problems in the future. But the whole point is to go back in time to stop Vandal Savage. So your whole plan is to not interrupt the time stream by interrupting the time stream.
Time travel's wacky.
Yeah.
Great Scott.
But it's the new version of Firestorm. It's Dr. Stein, and I forget what the other kid. Not James Jackson.
It's
not Robbie Amell. It's the black kid that they did in the last episode.
I forget his name. No.
Flash. I think it's Jackson. It was his last name.
Yeah, I think so too. I forget his name.
It'll be Heatwave Captain Cold, Hawkman, Hawkgirl,
yeah.
Ray Palmer, and Sarah Lance is the White Canary.
Arrow and Flash.
Well, it looks like they're going to show up in the show at some point, but no, they're not. It's not the Flash and Arrow show.
Yeah,
it's going to be. My guess is the first episode they'll probably show up.
Well, isn't the episodes next week going to kind of set this up of Flash and Arrow?
Yeah, they're going to have that.
Yeah,
does next week start to team up?
Next week is a team up episode.
They took a break, and I think it's coming back. It wasn't on this week, right?
It wasn't on this week. But then next week is their crossover. So Tuesday night and Wednesday night.
And Gotham's taking a complete break till February, right? That started.
They got one episode left. Yeah, one episode left. So that was that. CW ordered 6 additional episodes of iZombie, which I like that show. So that's okay.
I like.
Sometimes it's a little Scooby Doo-ish, but it's not a bad show.
I like it a lot. Yeah.
But it was originally just 13 episodes, so now they gave it 19.
That's good.
I
think it's a fun show. I think that's what I like about it.
It is. The other thing I got was Fantastic Four 2 was removed from the 2017 slate.
Oh, no. What? Why?
Yeah. So
it's crazy.
Yeah.
I've read about this in 2 different places. One was, I think, Comic Book .com or something like that, where it was originally announced.
What do they know about comic books?
Yeah. But then Forbes, which is a business publication, had a different take on it. And they said, essentially, this doesn't look good because they didn't move it. They canceled it. And normally what a studio will do is, if they're just retooling something, they'll move the date. And, they might move it till December, or they'll move it to 2018, 2019. They won't just outright cancel something. But because they did, that's kind of showing that they have no faith in it. That makes...
Thank you, Forbes, for stating the most obvious. Well,
yeah. But here's the other thing they said is they own the rights until 2022. So...
Giving time to let it
wash
away and...
figure out what they want to
try
do.
Again.
Or they can try to sell it back to Marvel and salvage some of the money they make.
I wish they would. I really do.
But that's the thing.
If Marvel could obtain
what's Marvel going to do with it?
I think they could still fit it in. Especially Fantastic. X-Men would be tough with how they've created. But Fantastic Four, I think you could fit it.
Well, I think the problem... X-Men works well for all these spin-offs because there's literally hundreds of characters mm-hmm. you can focus on. They
so
have completely
have your,
different
your
power
team.
Sets.
Yeah.
You can't do that with Fantastic Four.
I think it would open them up for villains that they can't use the powerful Avengers, even Avengers villains, even Doom. Kang. All of these villains.
I would love
to
see a Marvel version of Doom.
The Skrulls.
Yeah.
A lot of characters.
Now I am surprised though that they got Black Panther, because my assumption was that would have been a Fantastic Four character.
I always
assumed
even Namor would be all part of that.
Namor is actually somehow Universal has the rights to him.
Yeah,
I think that was part of the Hulk deal.
Yeah, which should have just came back. But if you don't,
I thought they made a deal with Universal to get the rights back
too,
for all this.
Yeah.
The way it works on the Universal deal is Universal has rights of first refusal for distribution. Marvel can make whatever Hulk movies they want, but Universal gets to distribute them if they want to.
Oh.
So. That's all I got news-wise.
That's the news.
That's the news.
Cool.
So, we could talk about Jessica Jones, or at least the first part.
Sure. I think it's been quite good.
What do you know?
But I do like...
I haven't watched the whole thing.
I'm 5 issues in. Or 5 episodes in. It's not something I can watch around the kids. So
I don't see why
not.
Why not?
Zach would be fine with it.
Why is he sitting on her? What's she do? What's he doing?
Sweet
he
Christmas.
Riding? He's old enough to know what that is. Isn't he?
Probably, but I'm not going to be the one showing it to him.
Why is he riding her like a horse?
Who else do you want showing it to him?
She doesn't look like a horse.
It's certainly less explicit than the
Are you reenacting
comic.
Whenever you had the sex talk with your parents?
No.
That was called walking into the bedroom.
The show, though, I've I've really liked, though. And it, coming out of, like, after finishing Daredevil, this is one of these shows that I was just like, what's the next one? And this was the next one?
Yeah.
I finished it today. Uh-huh. I liked it a lot. I had a couple issues with it. First, whenever her and... Has everyone here, like, gotten to the point where you saw Luke Cage?
Mm-hmm. Yes, in the third
episode. So, yeah, when her and Luke Cage get into that one where they're fighting with each other, like, not fighting each other, but when they're tag-teaming it against all those guys in
That's
the bar.
What we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Thanks, Ed. When they're having the fight in the bar, Luke Cage's fighting looked awful. Like, he would punch a guy, and it looked like he was just, like, touching the guy, and the guy would go flying.
Yeah.
And
if he punched him too hard, he would have knocked his head right off.
It looked awful. And I'm like, the fight choreography for that, for him, it just looked terrible. And then whenever they were in, like, that greenhouse, same thing. It doesn't make me confident for his show. Although, I guess at the end, his fighting was better whenever he,
Well, because he could wail on her because she's superpowered. Whereas with the other guys, if he would have hit them, he would have killed them.
She's superpowered too, though, and she was hitting people.
She was more throwing people.
She was almost stronger than him, at least in that one scene.
I've never really got Luke Cage's powers too much.
He has indestructible skin.
Indestructible skin.
How does that make somebody strong?
Well, no, he has super strength, too.
Does he? I never really... remember that.
In the show, they only said that his skin's indestructible.
And that's all I ever remember.
When he talked about his powers, he said, my skin is indestructible. Yet, he clearly had super strength.
Yeah.
Because
almost like he doesn't feel anything, so he can hit things and
he was punching his fist through walls and grabbing things, and I mean, so clearly he has enhanced strength.
He has to, I guess.
But just the way it looked. It looked like, you know, I mean, you can't see it, but just like, that's it.
Colin just
stop hitting me, man.
They're like, why are you so bruised, Colin?
But that Joshua I had an issue with, and then stuff with Kilgrave, where there was at least, you know, three separate times where, you know,
bad writing.
Conveniently, something came up to, you know, give him an escape. Yeah. It was kind of lazy writing.
No, I think that was to fill 13 episodes. And this story could have been told in 10.
I feel like this show went quicker than Daredevil. I feel like they could have filled. There was just so much to Daredevil.
They could have filled 13 episodes and made it all work. They didn't have to have him.
Well, no, if they didn't want to add additional stuff to it, if this was just a story they wanted to tell, they could have cut it to 10 episodes and done what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, there was other things they could have done with it, because they could have spent some time with her as, well, we never actually see her as Jewel, although there is a reference to it. No. You know, we don't see a whole lot about how she got her powers, but they certainly set that up for a second season if that's how they want to take it.
Yeah, they definitely didn't live as much in the backstory for the characters as they did in Daredevil.
In Daredevil, yeah.
Especially with Kilgrave. Like, you saw a couple flashbacks, but, like, Fisk had, you know...
He had a full episode.
He had a full episode and also big chunks within other episodes, too.
To know more about, like, Kilgrave.
Which really, like, developed... Fisk's character made him a very sympathetic villain, and who I think is still, you know, maybe the best Marvel villain we've seen on screen.
Yeah.
Kilgrave was great. I mean, David Tennant did a phenomenal job as the character. You didn't get to know a whole lot about his backstory.
Two doctors have played Marvel villains so far.
Mm-hmm.
One good, and the other one was that Malekith. Dark elf. With we were just like, yeah, he
Eccleston.
Did great, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Luke Cage. I like the guy that played him.
Yeah, everything else about the character I liked. I liked the dude that played him.
Yeah.
Kilgrave.
He looked the part.
Yeah, he certainly. I liked the first time seeing him, he had the yellow t-shirt on. Mm-hmm. He was just missing a tiara. But other than that, yeah, he had that. I was disappointed there wasn't a whole lot of reference to Daredevil.
Yeah, but there was a nice thing towards the end, which I won't spoil for you guys, but a nice way to tie the shows together.
No, there was. I'm not saying there was nothing, but I think Daredevil did a better job of interplaying with... And really, that one did more with Iron Fist than anything else. But there was a lot of references to Iron Fist, and this didn't do it.
Yeah, Daredevil itself, I don't think, made any references towards this show or Luke Cage. It just set up things for Iron Fist.
Yeah, but I think it played around in the universe a little bit.
It set up more for another show, Daredevil did, where this didn't set up for any next show. It did for Luke Cage. It's possible, with the Luke Cage. But it set up a lot for its own sequel, like a next season.
Well, and the other thing it did was it even left Luke Cage at a good point to go back to Harlem and start Heroes for Hire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I think would be an interesting idea for a show.
Yeah, and I know
they'll get to later after they do Iron Fist.
Yeah, and that would have been so. Originally, you know, they announced all four shows or five shows because they had the Defenders, and then we haven't heard anything about Iron Fist.
Yeah.
And what Marvel kind of came out and said was, well, that was the plan all along. You wouldn't hear anything about Iron Fist until after Jessica Jones went through, so we should hear something about it now. But that's kind of the concern, though, with Iron Fist is how do you do that? Like, do you take it the mystical aspect?
Yeah.
Or wasn't there rumors that Iron Fist may be replaced by something different?
Yeah, the Punisher. Which I find it odd that they would. And don't get me wrong, I think Netflix is exactly where you want to go with a Punisher thing.
Yeah.
You don't have an hour in a Marvel movie to spend on a villain. So it's really hard to develop a villain. You have it here because you have 13 hours worth of TV to do it. And I know Colin listens to the same podcast I do, the Avenging Hour. And, you know, they talk about, you know, these villains, which are big Marvel villains, but their appearances suck. But when you think about the breadth of time that they've had to develop the characters, that's why they're so good characters today. If you just have, like, Malekith in a 2-hour Thor movie and you got to get through a whole bunch of other stuff, it doesn't have the impact. Now, if, you know, he just had a couple scenes here, a couple scenes there.
You have the time to develop a
character. Yeah, you can develop them. Kind of like what they're trying to do with Thanos, I think, a little bit. But not
poorly.
As effectively. Nah, yeah, not as effectively.
Unless we already know he sits in a chair. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes he doesn't.
Well, and,
he
and now
gloves.
He'll have to do it.
His hand's cold.
Yeah, his hands get cold.
He sits in chairs every week.
Yeah.
Well, now he'll do it himself.
Oh, I see, yeah.
He likes to bedazzle things.
What else do you have to do on that floating rock?
Yeah.
I mean,
give me my glove. I want to put some rhinestones on it. Where's my bedazzling kit? There has to be some, like, cartoon out there of Thanos actually with a bedazzling kit, bedazzling a glove.
Bedazzler.
Michael Jackson.
But, you know, because they can do that, Netflix works well for these, and I think Punisher would work.
That's who I like. I wasn't really so much expecting bigger ties to Daredevil, but I really thought that they might show Punisher in this.
They hadn't cast him, though, by the time this was done.
That's true, yeah.
They've been filming this. No, they've been filming
before they filmed the last episodes, I think they
cast him. Yeah. Before they filmed the last episode, but
before they knew anything about Ultron.
It really would have worked.
Ultron in the show.
Yeah.
It really would have worked if Simpsons character was Frank Castle.
I thought he said the Simpsons.
Oh, instead of Nuke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would.
Well, no, because that would have went the Dolph Lundgren route where he's NYPD and no.
I think they're wanting to go that way to explain her powers a little bit too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Punisher, I don't know how well Punisher would do as a television show.
A dark Netflix show.
I'd like to see it, not saying I wouldn't want it, but I just Punisher is one of these characters that even when he has his own book, it's kind of difficult because he almost comes in real well. You tell that one story about him, what he's doing, but I guess
to have the right writer.
Yeah, you have
Ennis's
to do it just
run
right.
On Punisher Max worked great because he told really good stories, crafted them together. But I think he had a plan
by
for the
end,
whole six. But even at the end, though, it started to tie back to stuff that he did at the beginning.
Yeah.
And you can do stuff like that and plot it out the whole way. Yeah, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
And with this, you know you have 13 episodes.
It's possible,
you have 13 episodes to do what you want
to
do.
It's
might
short
not get
enough
a
to keep the story
season.
Focused
exactly.
Without getting all kinds of filler in there. And if you have these gritty, hyper-realistic fight scenes like they had in Daredevil, Punisher becomes very engaging.
Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't take it Punisher Warzone. I wouldn't go that route where it's ridiculous.
They tried. They picked all the worst stuff out of, like, the NS stuff.
Yeah,
like,
there was
the grossest,
like,
stuff or the messiest stuff, and they were just like, oh, there's a movie.
Yeah.
And that's how they made that. They didn't even take what he was really...
I still like the Thomas Jane Punisher.
I do too.
Yeah. I do too.
I like Punisher Warzone, but I like it for what it is.
I never saw it.
Over the top that it's like, okay, I can't take this seriously, but it's a good movie. I like Ray Stevenson as the
Punisher.
Yeah,
I like
too.
Him. I loved him as Titus Pullo in Rome.
Okay.
But I don't know. I really like Thomas Jane as Punisher. When the role got recast, I just wasn't on board anymore.
Yeah, the only thing about the Thomas Jane stuff that I didn't like was closer to the end, he just kept throwing villains at him. And it just got old after a while. Here's the Russian, here's the guy with the guitar in the movie.
Harry Heck,
yeah. It was just, yeah, but the movie itself just felt right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he did a good job, I thought.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things they did well, now they added the Russian, they took the Welcome Back Frank storyline.
Yeah.
And just went with that. You know, you could go with, like, the Slavers would work really well as a 13-episode run because he has to track down Christo Boulette and all that.
Yeah.
And they have the fights. Now, granted, it's very graphic. It's very dark because it's about, you know, sex slave trade.
Yeah.
But it would work very well as a 13-episode
thing.
See that.
I think if they bring in, like, with this, they made Bendis into the, like, a consultant.
Yeah.
Frank
Moore and Ellison.
They need to do that. Yeah. They need to bring in some good, especially him, especially Ellis.
But I think you have to, unless you...
He wouldn't make a good defender, though.
No.
Iron Fist would make that better.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to do Iron Fist.
Well, it's
like,
the same way. It's the same, you know, Moon Knight. Moon Knight, I think, would do really well for that, but it wouldn't make for a good West
series on Netflix.
Yeah, but, you know, you wouldn't make him a defender.
No.
But it would work as a good series, and there's a lot of different things you can do with the character. Yeah, they do.
Do they have it?
Yeah.
They should do that.
Well, that was one of the rumors, is depending upon how these work out, Moon Knight might be in the next.
Yeah. Well, we know we'll get Iron Fist because of the whole Daredevil exit, and we know it'll be mystical because remember at the end she walks through like a portal or something.
No, she just walks away.
I thought she walked through something.
No, she just walked away. She said because she talked to Owsley and said, "I'm going."
Don't drop acid while you're watching the show.
Yeah,
she ruined everything.
She's doing bong hits. She totally did that.
She went through a portal.
No, she just said to Owsley, "I'm going home," and he said, "You're going to China." And she said, "It's much further than that."
That's right, walks away.
Yeah,
I have a feeling he'll probably. They're not going to step away from the mystical stuff. I don't think. And it could still be darker and do all that.
Well, I think the one thing I do have going for them is that's supposed to come out after Doctor Strange. So you use Doctor Strange to introduce that piece, and then you can do what you want to do.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do Iron Fist first because people are like, "What is the Kung Fu?" But there's magic.
Daredevil was their best character to use first.
Yeah,
because he was a superhero type character.
But he's grounded.
But he could be dark. They could make it dark, and then the next one didn't necessarily have to be a superhero. But they introduced superpowers into this, which they haven't done in any of these. Like Daredevil, he had superpowers, but not physical strength.
Yeah. Well, I'd say the other thing that made Jessica Jones work as a series is. You could take out the superpowers, and it just worked as a good noir type.
Yeah. Which is what they were quoted a lot saying online. It was just, it's a really good superhero noir. And I love the intros to these shows. Netflix has good intros.
I didn't like this intro.
You didn't like it?
No. I love the Daredevil intro.
Yeah.
And this one, I get like the art style.
It's supposed to be like a noir.
It looks a lot like
PI
David Oz's type, work.
Yeah.
It was David Mack, though.
I think what I didn't like was the music in this intro.
I was confused. She didn't go, "My name is Jessica Jones. I'm a private investigator." No.
And we wanted to give you that silence. So it was awkward.
If we had a cricket.
Oh, come on now. Because every DC show starts that way.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'll go back to Facebook.
Changes it.
Goodbye.
Okay.
You're right. Every DC.
Well, they do. In The Flash this time, he says something And he's just like, by saving the world, I opened up a portal to our own. I was like, sounds like you screwed up, like, big time. Every time I watch that, I'm just like, yeah, you messed up, didn't you?
That's how you point out, like, saving the world.
Well, Barry, you should have went back.
Go back to your day job, you know? Yeah, right? I could have saved my mother instead of opening up portals to another world. It's just like, yeah, great, good job. So you did not succeed at that, and you succeeded at hurting our world.
But we did get King Shark out of it, oh so it wasn't God. A bad,
but fantastic. I know we're not going to go through that. This entire episode, but we were watching Flash with the Garrod episode,
yeah.
And he sends him through that portal, and I'm just like, well, I guessed it because I'm sitting back there. I'm like, wouldn't that be awful if they send him to Earth 2? And the comment's like, that's what they do. And I was just like, what? Really? They're just like, he's not our problem anymore. Well, and that's like, it's a garbage can.
Yeah, my wife in Gorilla City.
My wife and I are watching. It's just like, wow.
And I'm like, no one has any objections to just sending him to Earth 2. Like, we can't deal with them. We're just going to send him there. Like,
why do you send all of our criminals in the Earth 2? Yeah.
I thought, I'm like, maybe somehow he doesn't make it through the portal. And that's how he ends up in, like, the Speed Force and Gorilla City. But then Gorilla City is a place on
And they
Earth
said it was,
too,
like,
too.
It's a gorilla sanctuary or something. I'm like, no, this is, like, a gorilla empire.
Yeah,
like,
that was not
there.
A sanctuary.
There's a statue. There's a...
Yeah, like, they have like, Mount Rushmore.
That episode just...
Caesar and
Mount Crushmore.
Dr. Zaius is up there somewhere.
I was just watching. I was Colin. Like, these people are jerks. Colin, yeah, he'd be on there. Other Mount Rushmore.
Now, I've said some mean things, but I've never said you're an ape.
Okay.
He's a majestic silverback. Show some respect. Kill you.
Let me tear your face off.
Did you ever see Congo?
Yes, years ago.
Those gorillas were fierce.
I thought you were going to be like, that was a good movie.
It wasn't a bad movie.
I kind of like Congo, but I like the book, so maybe that's why.
I think I read the book long ago.
Book's a lot better than the movie.
Yeah. You're right.
Right.
When you're right, you're right.
Okay. So did we have any questions this week, Colin?
Yeah, Colin.
No.
Yeah, we did.
Jesus.
God, but I don't remember it.
Remember
it's been a long
you
week.
You emailed us last week?
What was the worst? What was the worst book by a writer you like and the best book by a writer you don't like?
Best comic by a writer you don't like and worst comic by a writer
you're saying,
you like.
Oh, like this is brand new. You told us about it.
You're the one sent it to us. And you even sent it early from Zach.
That's from Zach
in Texas.
Yeah, because I commented, I'm glad you sent this early so I had time to think about this.
Jack Attack said...
Zach's playing this podcast on his brick phone right now.
I like how Zach's like, he forgot me.
No, it's been a very long week.
He's Zach Attack. So, best comic by a writer you don't like and worst comic by a writer you like. Colin, you'll start.
No.
Just so we can get you over.
You are going. You can go last.
No,
though.
Go ahead.
I'll go first. So, writer I generally don't care for that put out a book that I really liked. I'm not a huge fan of Dwayne Swierczynski, and he did Birds of Prey for the New 52. He did Bloodshot for Valiant. He did several other things, but I didn't like most of the stuff he's done that I've read. But he did Judge Dredd for IDW, and I really, really, really liked that run a whole lot from beginning to end. He was on it. Which surprised, because like I said, other books he's done, I could not really get into.
He's crying.
I can't believe I forgot about the
question. As for a writer that I generally love, and a book that I couldn't stand,
Wonder Woman.
I don't like those writers. It doesn't work. Nor do I like their books, so it can't go the other way either. I'm going to name a couple writers, because they were on this book together. I absolutely love Jeff Lemire. I absolutely love Brian Azzarello. And Dan Jurgens and Keith Giffen aren't bad either. But man, Future's End was a big stinker.
I you know what? I didn't even think of something like that,
but
that makes a lot of sense.
Had four good, you know, good writers on it.
That as well?
No, not Rob Dell was on that. No. He was part of the Doomed, Superman Doomed. But But it has four, you know, decent writers on it, and man, that
it clustered at the
whole
end.
Whole series sucked.
Yeah,
it was possible to be less than the sum of its parts.
I wouldn't say
big
the whole,
time.
Yeah. I wouldn't say the whole series sucked. It just it didn't go together.
Well, and I think it almost hurt that that book had such big name writers on it, because like if you look at the Batman Eternal, Scott Snyder is the big name on it, and it has other like you know. Good writers in their own right, but still, like he was clearly like the biggest person on there, and he drove the whole story, and he was really like the director or thing. Future's End didn't have that one central voice,
that plotter,
that director that to plot it. Had big writers each doing their own section of the book, and nothing ever really came together. So it was just unfortunate because I love everything else these guys do, but this book I couldn't stand. So that is mine,
Dave.
DJ Dave?
I did think about this. I tried to come up with some good answers for this the past week, but as for a writer, I'll start with the bad book first.
So a writer that you
writer
like?
I generally like is Jeff Loeb. Superman for All Seasons, that's probably my favorite Superman story.
But you hate
but I
Long
hate
Halloween?
Ultimates 3 was awful.
Yes, it was.
That's one where, like, Juggernaut eats everybody or whatever.
No, it's Ultimatum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's basically...
This was the one where it said that Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver were an item.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Joe Maddox.
No, yeah, they were brother and sister, Joe.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Hey, shared a womb and then...
Whoa.
I don't think they cared about a room, just anywhere.
As far as
I mean, really, in the book, they did. I mean, it was just, like, wherever.
You're just sharing a different womb.
Yeah, that's... I was going to go there, but I...
Is that too far?
Yeah.
Oh. I said it kind of quiet. Maybe they didn't hear me.
No, they heard it.
Yeah, I hope not.
See?
We've been canceled.
Sorry, Internet.
Sorry, Internet. The Internet has had worse.
Did you know they have pornography on the Internet now?
That's it.
Post the podcast on Reddit, and then this will seem minor compared to
Yeah.
Or better yet, 4chan.
They'll be like, this is what I'm reclaiming things on.
Wouldn't we have to saw somebody's head off or something first?
Yeah. For the other side of the coin, as far as a writer I don't like, I'm not even going to say I don't like him, but I'm just the ambivalent, which is probably worse. Peter Milligan. Nothing.
Yeah, I could go with you on that.
Nothing has ever, well, except for Ecstatics. I loved Ecstatics.
He's very hit or miss for me.
But other than that, I've just been very ambivalent about his, nothing he's ever written other than that has ever done anything for me. Which is probably worse than hating somebody. But Ecstatics is great.
Okay. A writer that I really like is Charles Soule, and I hated the She-Hulk book. I hated the She-Hulk book. And it wasn't just because of the art, which was bad. It just, I got two issues into it, and I was like, nope, can't do it.
Prior to him going exclusive with Marvel, I would have viewed him as a writer that I liked everything he had out. But now I feel like it's more like 50-50, so.
I am still looking forward to the Daredevil. But, you know, well, hopefully that doesn't lower my opinion of him further. But, you know, as it is. For the best book by a writer I don't like, and this was actually hard because if I don't like a guy, I don't read him generally. Mm-hmm. But I like Matt Fraction's run on Hawkeye for the most part until the end.
Yeah.
When it turned into it'll show up when it shows up, just deal with it, I stopped. And the Kate Bishop stuff I wasn't a biggest fan of, but I really liked the way the Clint Barton stuff was written. I love the art in the book.
I still say that the Kate Bishop issues wouldn't have given people such a bad taste in their mouths if it was shipping on a regular basis.
Yeah.
That might be true.
If it wasn't for the fact that you were, like, waiting 3 months, then when you finally get an issue and it's not
there
the
was,
character that you wanted.
There was nothing wrong with the Kate Bishop stuff.
No, it was good. It was good.
Completely.
Yeah.
And it had a lot to do with the shipping schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, it just got so bad. And then by the end, you weren't getting the book at all. And after a while...
Especially when there were, like, you know, cliffhangers with what was going on with Clint.
Yeah.
And then
it was
you're
like
getting
6 months before you
It was actually
find out.
It would have been really nice because you felt like you were getting two books.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. They just didn't implement it right. Yeah. They didn't work it out. So.
And when it first started, it was a Clint story, a Kate story, a Clint story, a Kate story. And that worked really well until they got off that.
It made the whole Matt Fraction thing worse because I just never liked Matt Fraction, especially after Fear Itself.
I could almost go with you on Matt Fraction because I don't hate his writing, but I find that... Well, okay, let me say this. Hawkeye was the first thing of his that I ever read.
Okay.
No, first thing I ever read of his. So then after Hawkeye, since I liked it so much, I started trying other new things he was coming out with.
Yeah.
And I just didn't like any of them a whole lot.
Iron Man.
Like Satellite Sam, Sex Criminals. There's something else, too. I couldn't get into any of it.
I read Iron Man of his, and I really was liking Iron Man. It was right after the whole Siege. No, it wasn't Siege. It was... Secret Invasion. So he was on the run. Norman Osborn was after him. He had to delete his memory to like a hard drive or something. Really interesting stuff. And then Fear Itself happened. It had that crossover. Was it Fear Itself or Siege when he was making the weapons with the dwarves? I don't remember. But
he went to Willy Wonka's factory.
Pretty much. But it just went downhill. And I just really... You know, I don't pick up a lot of Matt Fraction. Yeah.
I couldn't get into his Fantastic Four either. He was
That's why I didn't pick it up.
He was the new writer the last time they did a number one, I think, when they went out into space.
And Bagley did the art for that.
And Mark Bagley.
I like his art.
A lot of people liked his run though on that.
Yeah. He's
until the end, whenever he was had whatever fault he had with Marvel, and
just I don't have any good luck with them with Matt Fraction. Is that it for you, Pat?
Yeah.
Okay. For me, I have to go like back 10 years in this because or a little over because what? Yeah because for best comic by writer I don't like I used to like him I can't deal with his writing anymore I don't Dan get Slott. Any book no it's Brian Michael Bendis and. When I started reading the first comic I ever picked up, but what really got me back into reading a bunch of comics was Ultimate Spider-Man. Brian Michael Bendis was one of the writers I like. I just read a lot of stuff with Bendis, and one of my favorite Avengers books is Disassembled and House of M. And they were it was a good story. Right after all that, he just kind of went downhill, and it's just nothing's interesting that he's writing anymore. Because he was almost like their Geoff Johns. Like, he had an idea of what he was going to do with Marvel when he did it.
But I think that's the problem, is no one was over him saying, no, you're not going to do that, or this isn't going to work.
Yeah, and it just, I don't know what it is, but he's just, he's a writer I used to like, but anymore, you know, he writes one of my favorite books, but I just don't get into his stuff. And worst comic by a writer you like? I'm going to go with, I like Kirkman, but that Outcast book is not that great. And it just drug for too long, and I had to stop. I just had to stop. And I gave it a lot of time. And in fact, Josh probably pointed that out a while back. He was like, why are you still reading that book if you didn't like it? And I was just like.
You tend to do that.
I like to give stuff a chance.
Yeah, but you will say, like, really for 10 months straight. How much you dislike a book, you're continuing to buy it.
That might change today. So,
ooh, what's happening today?
Yeah,
I have no idea.
When we talk about books, you don't have any idea. Anyways, you weren't here. You were asleep.
I could crawl up.
So, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm gonna pass this one actually. So, I'm gonna defer to Colin.
Okay. I could do that.
Oh, he's not in.
No, you just said that. No, I can't really, honestly, now I do apologize for not thinking about this for the past week. I can't really think of a favorite book by a writer I don't like.
It's so hard to do that.
Yeah, I can't think of that many writers I don't specifically like. And if there is a writer I don't like, I probably won't pick up their book.
That's why I had to think of someone I'm ambivalent toward.
See, but you, I would think.
Other than don't like.
Since you read most of the number ones that come out, you... would have to almost...
Well, there's a lot of books I don't like. To be honest, I don't always pay attention to who's writing them.
Oh.
Yeah, because she's going to read the new number ones regardless.
Well, I mean, like, the Star-Lord book I did not care for. I could not tell you in a million years who worked on that. I mean, I could walk over and find it, but...
it would take you a million years to do that.
No. Today it would take me a long time to crawl over there. But the two that I came up with, I loved Rick Remender's stuff, especially Uncanny X-Force.
Yes.
I remember being very disappointed when they ended the Kyle Yost and who the other guy was, I forget, doing that. Because I thought that X-Force run was excellent. And then Uncanny went and was one of the best things I've read. Uncanny Avengers, I kind of got lost only in the sense of it didn't make sense in the big picture. But his Cap run, I really, really did not like. And I gave it a long time. I probably gave it 10 or 12 issues before I gave up on it.
You pulled an Atom.
Well, I was reading it because I'm like, this has to be going somewhere. Cool, huh? And then in the end, it didn't really seem to go anywhere. I did not like that at all. And then going back to Charles Soule, Death of Wolverine, where it clearly had an end point he had to get to, and the issue, each issue was completely separate, and in the end, they didn't even, like, fit together, and it just... It was not an epic storyline that the death of Wolverine should have been.
Yeah.
So those would be my two picks. But yeah, I couldn't tell you a most surprising book by a writer I don't like. So, because yeah, that's a little bit harder because, like I said, most of them I don't read, ones I don't particularly like, and there's very few writers, in essence, that I don't like. Everybody has a shot.
And you may not like him writing character X, but he can write character Y very well. Yeah. It's something you want to read.
Yeah. So, that's all I got.
Well.
Okay. Adam, let's talk about you can start talking about books since you have this. You had this big revelation. Do we all have
to
wait?
It's not that big.
Well, you made it sound that big. Life-changing, you said.
You did.
That's what she said.
Okay, somebody else go first. I'll go first.
You go
first.
Whoa. What's this?
Cats and dogs living together.
My sister.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Ha!
He counted.
One. So we'll just go pure alphabetically.
There should be a count a comic book.
Yeah. There's Sesame Street on it.
Yeah, but it's got to be just Count Von
just
Count.
Count.
Batman Europa. I know this one had been solicited years ago, and then looking at it, it was the exact same solicit, exact same creative team. I don't know what changed or if it was something that's been in the can that literally, if it was going to come out right around the time of New 52, it didn't make sense, so they just decided to bag it for a while.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
But it was one of those, okay, Batman working with the Joker, okay. But then reading it, I'm like, this works.
Yeah.
I thought the art was really good. It was Jim Lee over Giuseppe Camuncoli layouts. I think the ink or the coloring was very different. Almost a painted type style that I hadn't seen before. Other than a lot of sexual innuendo.
a lot.
You know, he pounded him for 7.5 minutes.
Right. And then he was going to have something run down the girl's neck. But overall, I'm interested and I want to see where the next one's going.
Prague, they already told you.
Well, I know, but I mean...
Prague.
So,
And the whole after-convergence thing kind of opened up the door for them to do more outside of continuity.
Right. So that's why
they were just like, can we do it now?
And it's nice because this is going to be something that then I'll have a little four-issue trade to sell. Oh, I just am looking for a Batman story. Well, trying to sell you volume 6 of the current Batman run is going to be a little trickier than saying, here, try this.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to see that. Black Knight number 1 was just flat out confusing only because during Original Sins, one of those 5-issue one-shot minis, it showed Black Knight basically was trapped in his apartment. The ebony blade was corrupting him and he couldn't even leave. He didn't feel safe leaving his apartment.
He was agoraphobic.
Yeah. Well, this one starts with him being king of Weird World, which...
Did that happen in the weird world?
I didn't
world?
Read it, so okay. I can't tell you. You don't quite know how he gets there. So, on its own, it was fine, but just the whole time I'm reading it, I'm going, how did we get here?
Yeah.
And it's basically like him... It had a very warlord feel. Of here he is on this, like, strange... It's not even another planet, it's part of Earth. Where he's now the king, very much like Warlord was the king. He showed up, basically he killed the king, and then took over the reins of this kingdom. So, interesting. But it leads me to think of a lot of these. This one doesn't look like it really has legs. I don't see this one hitting issue 25. This one is kind of reading like a six-issue mini.
I don't know if I see the best of the Marvel books hitting issue 25.
Right. No, I agree. But I'm just saying, some of these definitely feel like miniseries disguised as ongoings, with them not telling us that they're six issues or five issues. Yeah. And this one definitely has that feel. And it's another one that was just kind of thrown out there. It's like, is there a huge untapped Black Knight market? And how do I order them?
Definitely.
Go to the Renaissance Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't, it wasn't a bad issue. There was nothing wrong with the issue. The art was nice. Everything about it was fine. It's just one of those, where does this fit, that I question. This next one was fun. I tweeted the author, and she responded, so that was enjoyable. Clean Room number 2.
Good book.
I tweeted her saying, oh, yeah, Gail Simone writes fun books. Let's read this Clean Room. I said, crikey, White Monkeys. So, yeah, that was, she's got some weird ideas in her head.
The White Monkeys were, like, the tamest part
of it. Was, but what else could I say?
No, I know.
You know, that was an easy way to put two words to go.
I know. That whole scene inside the clean room, dealing with that, the dude that was in there.
Yeah.
And his backstory, man, that was really, really creepy.
Yes, it was.
And I think what made it even creepier is she did such a good job, like the slow build up.
Oh yeah.
And how you saw the one main character, yes, kind of defending this guy, like saying, "Oh, leave him alone. You're a monster to him."
Yeah.
And then this sudden shift when you see what his real like backstory was. It was really, really well.
But I still don't understand where this is going, what this is.
No idea.
Yeah, no clue, but definitely interesting.
But I'm enjoying it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Which says a lot, because it's a few of these new Vertigo books, I have no idea what's going on or where it's going, but I'm enjoying it just the same, somehow.
Yep. One I loved, Huck.
Yep.
Yes. I thought that was a great book, and I like what he's saying about it. He's saying he wrote this in response to the criticism of the Man of Steel. And this is basically, okay, what if Clark stayed in Smallville? And I think that's a lot where this went. But Huck is just a simple-minded guy, works at the local garage. He was raised to do a good deed every day, and he still does a good deed every day. He just happens to have superpowers. They're not really defined.
No, they don't really.
But he can go to the bottom of the lake to find something. He can, lift heavy things, so you don't know exactly what it is, but it starts off with one of the ladies in the town lost their bracelet. He goes to it's almost like the landfill at the bottom of the lake, and finds her bracelet. One day, he takes out the garbage for everybody in town. One day, one of the options on his list was to mow the grass for all the elderly people. So it's just a nice guy, and this new person moves into town as a reporter. And it's like, what's going on? And everybody just kind of, they do their own thing and they just leave him be. Because, if there's a problem, he'll fix it. If something's lost, they'll find it. And then at the very end, it ends with the dog barking and him looking out the window. And there are all these reporters out on his front lawn.
He goes to North Africa to...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he rescues all those girls that were thing and gives them candy and says the only thing you can do is don't tell anybody what happened.
I love
those
little touches in the book. Like, he ask the guy to take his glasses off before he punches
him. Yeah, because he was trying to be,
And he brings candy for all the schoolgirls.
And when they get interviewed, they're like, we can't tell you how we were saved.
Yeah.
They're like, it's our secret.
Yeah, but it just really, heartfelt, it was really well done.
I said this last year when we were talking about Starlight, that I wanted Mark Miller to do more stuff like that, lighthearted or stuff with a lot of heart. And this is it. And it's really good.
Who's the artist on this?
Raphael Albuquerque.
Wasn't he the one with all the controversy between Batgirl?
He's the one that did the Batgirl cover,
I can't see any problem with him. I mean, the art was really, really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a really beautiful book.
Yeah, that was a surprise. That was just a surprise. It was one of those, the cover was cute. There was the Field of Dreams cover, but there was also the other one where he's sitting on the rooftop and there's a bird on his finger and stuff. And it's just, where's this? Just
I think
really
what sold
neat.
Me on it was the little quote that they had that, like, what if somebody in your town had, like, a secret or something like that? And that quote just was just like, that sounds interesting. Like, This really sold well. I guess all of them are going to, like, I was looking at previews. I guess they're all doing movie covers.
Okay, but that was just, that was neat. It was the Field of Dreams, which is just one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Next one, I have Mighty Thor, which was a good issue. I have no problem with the issue. The only problem I had with it is it literally was issue 9. There was no reason for this to have had a new number one. It followed immediately up after the end of issue 8.
Did you get all those people back?
No, last I checked, I had sold 47 number 8s, and this time I sold, at the time I looked, was 17 of this one.
That was on Friday, right?
That was on Friday, yeah. So there may have been more, but that was still fairly dramatic drop.
How many did you sell,
drop.
If you even know off the top of your head, how many did you sell the first of that series? Mm,
I don't remember. No.
That's kind of an unfair comparison because it was the number one.
No, I was trying to see if it had a gradual build up. If those books have a build up as they go on.
Generally, they'd start high and come down.
High. Yeah. Okay.
I thought it was a good issue. Talking about her struggles, where she's undergoing chemo, but when she turns into Thor, it gets all the chemo out of his system, out of her system, but it doesn't get rid of the cancer. So every time
why doesn't she just stay Thor?
Well, I guess she could, but there's probably they didn't explain exactly why, but there must be some reason why, because maybe her body continues to deteriorate. So I don't know. I don't remember all the specifics in that, but it was good. And then there are people in Asgard who are trying to get rid of the false Thor, so she's not completely beloved in Asgard and.
Yeah, I still don't see why Thor's unworthy.
Well, we just haven't found out yet. Whatever Nick said to him. We'll find out someday.
I think this is going to be one of those abandoned storylines.
Really?
It's resolved.
Could be. Well, you think that at some point Thor's going to come back.
Maybe he just takes his
hammer. Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
He's like, I want my hammer back. Here, you can have Stormbreaker 2. Electric Boogaloo.
Now, Spider-Woman... To be fair, I didn't really read much of the first Spider-Woman series. I read a couple of the tie-ins to Spider-Verse, but I didn't really keep up with it. But it certainly looked like it was a strong female character. They gave her the new costume. They changed her. She's riding a motorcycle. She's an investigator and stuff. So now she's 9 months pregnant. And it's just... What?
If it's 8 months later, that means she was pregnant.
Well, 8 months pregnant. Or whatever it is, she's very, very pregnant. And all of a sudden, it starts off, she has a team with Porcupine as her operative and Ben Urich, and she's not allowed to do anything because she's pregnant. And she's talking to Captain Marvel, and Captain Marvel wants to go to this intergalactic maternity place somewhere on Earth because she walks to it.
So intergalactic Kids R Us.
Yeah, so, and the whole thing is about this, for her being bored on maternity leave and all this, and at the very end she decides to go to this intergalactic maternity ward, and at the very end these two orderlies turn into Skrulls and put guns on everybody. And I finished it, I'm just like, what? I don't get this, because it's not for fans of Spider-Woman. It's for fans of a female character book.
Yeah,
and very female again, but it also wasn't written by a woman.
But the thing. Spider-Woman is a stronger female character. She was Hydra. She was S.H.I.E.L.D. She's a P.I.
But
you
now
can do a lot with her.
Yeah, but now she can't do anything because she's pregnant. And then once she's done being pregnant, she's going to have a kid where she's not going to be able to really put herself at risk.
Yeah.
So it just the whole thing just seems very odd, and I just don't know who this is directed at. I mean, the book itself was fine. A little, a little funnier, happier... That I'm, a big fan of. There wasn't a lot of conflict or anything. More, she was bored and eating ice cream.
Because this is Jessica Drew, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not quite sure where the market for this is and where they can really go with it. Yeah, there you go. A book for pregnant women. I'm going to skip that one for now. Star-Lord is basically telling the story of him as, a young man, early 20s.
With Yondu?
He's working at, a facility where they're housing a Kree ship. And everybody's trying to figure out how to fly it. And he keeps sneaking into the test module and trying to figure out how to fly it. And they keep kicking him out. And people actually take the ship out, but they can't get it to activate the hyperdrive. and everybody's very frustrated about not being able to do this.
You need an R2 unit.
So one day he decides to take it out, and they're chasing him because he's not supposed to be flying it because he's not a real pilot. And what he said did work, and it activated the hyperdrive, and all of a sudden then he ended up in outer space, but then the ship died, and he didn't know what to do. And that's where it ended. And it's just one of those, okay, that's not really what I want to read. You know, these early adventures of Star-Lord.
That's the name for a book.
But without talking about Yondu, without talking about his parents, anything, it's just adventures of a young kid who's messing around with a spaceship. So, it didn't sell well either. So, I don't know the point of that one. But again, I don't know who wrote or...
Guardians are over. It's about humans, though.
You should have had him riding around on a motorcycle with velociraptors. That would have worked.
Space.
Yes. Space velociraptors.
They had little helmets on.
Next one I read was Titans Hunt, which just seemed to kind of be rehashing the last issue, where it's like these guys are kind of having vague memories of being a team, and this kind of continues that without really ever going anywhere. The first one kind of intrigued me. This one kind of left me a little bit flat, although at the very end it was Dick and Aqualad or Tempest, and then Wonder Girl shows up. But she made a really... I forget what her line was, but it didn't make any sense. It was something like Garth was attacking Grayson, saying something about you land creatures, and then she shows up and says some line vaguely tied into it. I'll skip that one. We'll come back to that. Uncanny and Humans had me completely lost. Black Bolt.
Detecting a theme.
Black Bolt finally admits to giving the son to. Yeah, no, no.
Through someone that was with him.
But gave his son to Kang to protect him, and Medusa kind of loses her mind. And then something goes off on Beast's, like, wrist monitor, saying that something is messing with time, and he activates this thing and puts a bubble around them. So nothing can affect them. But if they leave the bubble, the chain, whatever's been changed in the past, will affect them. And Kang has taken Black Bolt's son and is going into the past and erasing Inhuman culture. So all of a sudden...
This sounds like at the end of Uncanny X-Men 600, they said Beast is going to be put on trial for something.
Okay.
It sounds like that's...
Well, I don't think he didn't do anything. He's trying to stop it. But all of a sudden, Gorgon disappears and no one can remember him.
Except for the people in the bubble.
Well, this was before he activated the bubble, but all of a sudden, Beast goes, wait, where's Gorgon? And Medusa goes, who? And he's like, your cousin, who was sitting right there. And then later, Johnny Storm leaves because he's not an Inhuman, it won't affect him. And he goes, because he has to go get something so that they can undo this. And, you know, Beast says there's this codex and something else to... But this is what I'm saying, where it's confusing.
Shouldn't we just let Kang do this?
But, well, no, because he's doing this to mess up. Well, yeah. Right. But, so, he goes out and gets his two friends and comes back without them, and they're, hey, we're so-and-so and so-and-so. And he's, who? So, it's just, you get to the end and you're just like, what? So, he's erasing, I'm confused. Okay, yeah, I guess I'll let you guys talk about a couple others, but the last one I want to talk about is Tokyo Ghost number 3, which, even though the art was fantastic on the first two, I thought was even better on this one.
The art in this issue was incredible.
It
was incredible.
I just remember reading it just going, my God.
Some of those two-page spreads were absolutely beautiful, and you're absolutely right. This issue was the best art so far.
Yeah,
out of the series.
It's like, it's hard to say his other stuff was bad, and it's not bad, but
if you bought original art from the first or second issue saw this, you'd be bummed out, because this issue was absolutely gorgeous.
But the scene on the lake?
Joe said it's $1,600.
Really?
Yeah. But basically, they've gotten to New Tokyo, and they're talking to the leaders and everything. Honestly, I can't remember what happened in it, but I just know the art.
Basically, he's detoxing.
Yeah, and it's not going particularly well.
And as he's detoxed, he's finding that his strengths are no longer there.
Like his job was to protect her.
He's starting to figure out why. Okay. He's starting to remember why he turned into that.
Yeah, so he's struggling.
What's his name?
Led Dent.
Mm-hmm. Led Dent.
He's struggling to adjust to, you know, these weaknesses now and his new role. And then we find out, because it looks like they're just going to blow off what their mission was.
I never understood their mission to begin with, because it was just like, they could just stay there if they
were. Right. Yeah, but now we find out that there's a mole there, so they can't. Yeah, but really good. Really great
it's
issue.
It's actually turned into one of my favorite reads throughout the...
Yeah, I read it today, I guess, this morning, or maybe yesterday, and it was just great.
Yeah.
Great story, great art.
Okay, that's all I got, because one you'll do and one the rest of you guys all will do. So.
Okay, well, I guess
I've talked enough.
I'll mention the one that you skipped over.
Well, it's more up your alley.
Well, I always value your opinion.
I'll chime in.
Wrath of the Eternal Warrior. I really liked it. The art in this book is incredible, I think. And it picks up right where Book of Death left off, where...
Well, that was one of my problems. There was a lot... There was a... Book of Death had a flipbook preview of this, and there was a lot of, I already read this.
Yeah, that's one thing. They gave a lot away in the previews, which, I mean, on one hand, it's good they're previewing this much of it, but for someone that's buying the issue, you're getting a lot of rehash. But Galad the Eternal Warrior died at the end of Book of Death, and we find out, and this is something I don't think they've ever mentioned prior to this, he can die, but he can come back from it. See, previously, I thought that he was just straight up immortal, that he couldn't die. So I guess when he dies, he goes to this afterlife or this hell, and he has to fight his way back if he wants to try and get back to the living world. And it was interesting because they set up, like, he had this family as well. And at first I thought it was just some sort of vision or hallucination he was having in this afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
But the more the story went on, the more it seemed like this was, like, a legitimate, you know, family he had in this weird, like...
Yeah.
Other
so that's where I was
afterlife.
Just... Yeah, I was just
Because
confused.
He's, you know, his wife in this family, in this other, you know, dimension or plane... Is saying, you know, just stay. You don't have to go. And but no, he's fighting his way, you know, through what they say is like his version of hell.
So
to,
he is kind of immortal though, because he's can
immortal
live forever, but he can't. Be
he's immortal, but they're playing off like he has to pay a price to, you know, continue.
Yeah.
Back. But I don't know. What's not clear is if. Well, I mean, this story plays up like this has happened before, but everything that you've read previously about this character makes it sound like he has just existed, you know, throughout the ages constantly. So I don't know if this was, you know, a change of the character because they had a good idea for the story or what, but it was good. I liked it a lot.
He's the one you said, Colin was saying the other day that he protects the Geomancer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And we saw in the Legends of the Geomancer book, the series, the miniseries that went along with Book of Death, that his family, the Anipata, you know, clan, are actually, you know, descendants of the first Geomancer. But anyway, it was really good. It's a really good jumping on point. You don't have to have, you know, really any previous knowledge to jump on. It kind of explains what's going on nicely. The story's good. The art is really incredible. I love the colors in this book, especially in the pages where he's kind of in this alien, like, hellish, you know, world. A lot of, like, really, like, bright pops of color. So it's really good issue. Star Trek Green Lantern, number 5.
I really like that.
Man, I really like this book. It ends with the next issue, which is kind of sad, but it works so well.
Yeah.
And I think what this issue really, you know, did that I absolutely loved, the big, like, space battles. We're seeing these big, you know, Star Trek ships and the lanterns and their constructs, and it all worked. It was a really, really solid issue. I like how we're seeing them being kind of forced to come together again. But
first they weren't going to. Like,
they weren't going to. He's very arrogant and cocky about it.
Yeah.
But I think he was.
They're rating him just like they should be too.
That's, yeah, but that's it, yeah. He should be.
No, but they can't draw our fleas worth anything. They are just...
Yeah. I don't
know, what's up with that?
There's a couple people that can draw our fleas, yeah. and many people
He doesn't
can.
Have the snout. Like, in this, he just has, like, a flat...
Yeah, it is very flat.
It's flat and very, like, elongated.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like Larfleas. It does. They do get the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, the voice is there. The tone's there. It just, yeah, he doesn't quite look...
The look's not quite right.
I love how Mr. Scott, he made the ring.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's a white lantern ring.
It is, but it doesn't seem like it has the same powers.
Yeah. It's like, how does this work?
Yeah, essentially, it's a white ring... But it has shields and phasers. Yeah. So it's essentially, like, turns you into a little mini version of, like, the Enterprise.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He like, made something that could be, like, great for them. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
They don't even need the Enterprise anymore. We got these rings, you know.
They don't really need it anyway. Another dimension. Yeah, but they don't need it anyway. Once he figured out how to do beaming from place to place.
What do they call that where they're not... What is it in Star Trek that they call it when you can't go and mess up another culture...
The Prime Directive.
So, like, the
Primate
Green
Directive?
Green Lanterns had no... Yeah, that's right. The Green Lanterns, though, had no
they don't
Prime
care about
Directive
that, yeah.
at all. They were just like, here are rings. And they're just like, yeah, we got rings now.
All right, we're dying. We're going to just send everyone over here and here you go.
That was about it. Oh, it's good, though. And when they get the Vulcan. And,
yeah.
You know, even when he talks about it, he's like... Spock says... How does he say that? He's just like... Something that's picked up on the, like, the long-range sensors.
Yeah.
And Kirk is, like, I'm not worried about the long-range sensors right now. I'm worried about the short-range. He's like, well, it's Vulcan. It's kind of weird. And when they get there and how he brought back an entire
Necron's
planet,
there and
Necron's
all that.
There. And it's going to be a pretty cool conclusion, though.
It's almost like they need one more issue, though, to do it.
Yeah.
But the... they gave the white ring or the Enterprise ring to Sulu right away.
Yeah.
I wanted it to go to a red shirt guy and have it fail.
Yeah.
You know, because we haven't had a red shirt guy get whacked yet.
Yeah,
so.
You gotta have that.
I thought for sure that Kirk was just gonna take that ring.
Be a cowboy red shirt guy's gonna get rage and he's gonna be like, I'm not gonna die anymore. Leave me alone. That's what would happen. But.
Yeah.
He turned into the villain.
Martian Manhunter, number 6. Are any of you guys still
reading this? Yeah, I read that.
So this is kind of a big issue. We find out a bit more information about who these people are that have kind of been carrying part of John John's. So I thought up to this point that these people were humans that he just kind of, you know, sent parts of his consciousness to, aside from Mr. Biscuits. He's obviously not human.
Yeah.
But we find out now that they're actually, you know, complete, you know, new entities that were created from his different parts and different aspects of his personality. And they were given their own memories so they can make their own choices. But that they aren't, you know, they weren't humans prior to this.
Right.
And you find out, like, one is all of his intelligence. Mr. Biscuits... They didn't say exactly what it was, but I did like his intro. It's like, Mr. Biscuits, 65% of the way through Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Yeah.
He's sitting there watching on the plane.
I just find it funny there's a DC Comics character right now called Mr. Biscuits.
Mr. Biscuits.
Is it a cat? Like, it seems like it should be a cat.
No, he's like almost like a grasshopper, like a giant grasshopper.
Yeah, but Biscuits play a big role in it. Like, there's this big fight on the plane, and he's, you know, reaching for his bag of biscuits that he hasn't finished yet.
Biscuits on a plane.
When's he going to get his own book? That's the question.
That'll be the next.
Marvel would have gave him his own book.
He would have.
Because you asked for it.
Yeah.
And Marvel might still do it.
No. Marvel's just like, Mr. Biscuits. It's a little different. He's a cicada, not a grasshopper.
So the Martians, the bad Martians, are trying to get all of these parts of John John's to this...
Form like Voltron and...
Trying to get into, like, this big red, like, beam that's coming down on Earth. Because once they all converge in this beam, then that's...
Mars lives.
Yeah, that's how John John's, like, this weapon where he can essentially make Earth desolate barren.
They said it was Martian blood magic.
Yeah.
So in order for one to live, the other one has to die.
Yeah, so Earth will die for Mars to live again in the whole Martian society.
That sounds fair.
So you have these four parts of Martian Manhunter trying to, you know, I guess, fight against this happening. Two of them are on this plane, and one of the people that was with them, you find out, was actually one of the you know, white Martians, and he has taken over the passengers in the plane and the pilots, and he's flying the plane right into this beam. And the other two are on the ground, and they're fighting, you know, the Martians that are there. But then one of them turns on the rest, and the one that has John John's intelligence turns on the rest and gets them all into the beam to start the whole process of Mars, you know, coming back and Earth dying. So it was a twist I didn't really see coming, but it was good. I'm curious to see where it's going to go from here, because it's kind of a big thing to do, to make Earth dead and Mars come back. So I don't know how that's going to play out with the rest of the books and everything, but.
I know this book, or I know JLA Today came out today, and it was dealing with Martian Manhunter. Is it tying into the story?
I don't think so.
Okay, I didn't think it was a crossover or something, because I was trying to figure out why it randomly came out. I know we were talking about it before, but...
Because Hitch didn't have his stuff together.
He wasn't ready. That's why you should always get your homework done.
Yep.
It's true.
Kids.
But no, it was good. I liked it.
A public service announcement for today.
Green Lantern Lost Army. Number 6?
Yeah.
So this was the end of the miniseries that Colin Bunn was on, who is also, was mentioning him for my, someone I don't generally like that has a book that I like, this being the book that I like.
I thought it was interesting. I kind of like with what happened with Mogo.
I like that a lot. I mean, the big battle was kind of cool. There was nothing wrong with the issue. It was a fine issue. It definitely felt like this story was rushed. Like, he definitely had a bigger story to tell.
Yeah, he wanted 12 issues and only got 6.
Yeah, so I'd love to know what the backstory is there. What happened to where he's got cut down to 6, but then...
They're going
to
start it again in January with a brand new...
Yeah, who's on it in January? When?
Tom Taylor?
Yeah, Tom Taylor's on it.
Yeah.
But it was good. So Mogo is being assaulted by all the different light wielders, and they're trying to gain access to, you know, his power battery and everything.
Central battery.
Mogo all of a sudden turns into a badass and is able to harness all of the light energy that he is being, you know, bombarded with, and
he can convert them now.
Yeah. Well, he's not converting them. The pyramids were converting them. Remember when the pyramids were hovering over top of other lanterns, the light that was shining on them was converting them. So we had lanterns changing colors.
Yeah, but if you know, like, I forget who it was, changed to a blue lantern, but kept the Green Lantern emblem. It might have been.
Whatever it was.
Kept the Green Lantern emblem, it was just colored blue.
Yeah.
It didn't change to, like, the St. Walker.
Yeah, her uniform is still the same, but I think her power is now the blue energy.
Yeah, and it could be.
I wonder if the people that turn red, if they're suddenly linked to the rings the same way that normal Red Lanterns are.
I don't think so, because they said something. Someone said something about rage, and it just kind of was, you know, brushed aside.
Yeah. And Guy Gardner's not the Christmas Lantern anymore.
Yeah, now he has two green rings.
Yeah.
There were a couple guys that got turned into yellow lanterns. Yeah, so.
But it was good. I liked it. I'll be picking up the next, you know, series to continue this.
Yeah.
The Green Lantern Corps, Age of Oblivion. Dr. Fate.
Yeah.
I think Adam, you read that too?
Yeah.
I've liked this book. This book has very much been like DC's Spider-Man or, you know, Ms. Marvel kind of book. Where he's, you know, this kid dealing with all his problems, trying to balance his home life and this power that he suddenly, you know, bestowed upon him, and he doesn't really know what to do with it, or doesn't really even want it. But he's been fighting against this, you know, the god Anubis, who wants to, you know, essentially lay waste to the earth and cleanse it, and he's trying to prevent this. So Anubis is causing these, you know, great storms and flooding. My problem with this book is the story's not really being progressed at all in recent issues, which makes the arc feel really long and drawn out, and like it's overstayed its welcome. a six-issue arc isn't bad if each issue is progressing in some meaningful way, but this really isn't.
And even if this wasn't the arc, like, or even if this was the end of the arc, and it's just continuing on a new arc where he's in this thing, it still doesn't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't. So it doesn't even really go into a new arc. I mean, you don't feel like it does. So thus, it still feels like it's going on a longer. Yeah, but it's not progressing. I mean, that's the best way of saying it. And not to say that it's a bad book. It's a really interesting idea and concept behind Dr. Fate.
It's a very unique book. I hope it does.
And it feels like Spider-Man. It's exactly what it feels like.
It's a book that I really want to do well, and I feel like we've kind of championed this book.
Yeah.
But they're not making it easy when an issue like this comes out where it's a whole issue where not much happens at all.
I'm just wanting to see, like, a conclusion and moving on to a new arc.
And I really thought this issue was going to conclude this arc and have a nice, like, six-issue arc, but it didn't. And that's concerning.
So, yeah, it's a really nice-looking book. The art is just really unique for the book. I really do. I love the art in this book. The story is, it's good, but, yeah, not progressing at all. So, I mean, we'll see what happens within the next one. Maybe the next issue will feel like a new arc. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
See, it has a lot of promise.
Oh, yeah, a lot of promise. So...
the last book, I think I'm going to save for Dave, my other Valiant book. You read that, right?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I'll save it for you then. All right, so then that's it for me, Dave.
Well, we'll go right to Bloodshot, Reborn. All right.
Alphabetical order.
Yeah, it should go in alphabetical.
I'm loving this arc. This arc has been great. This whole series has been great.
I like this issue especially. Felt like it had a lot of momentum. Just turning the pages to get to that last page with the story. Because starts off with Ray and Magic hunting one of the guys who has the nanites in the cornfield.
Yeah, and I think maybe I missed something. I thought that guy was the guy that they were, you know, up against. The guy that was also collecting the nanites.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
And especially whenever you saw, like, in the previous issue where he, you know, cuts off his hand and leaves it somewhere to kind of bait Ray while he's going after Magic at the same time. So I really thought this was, like, the main threat who was also going and collecting these nanites. But we found that that's not him. This is just the last one of the people that had nanites, became infected with nanites.
You get some cool images on the third or fourth page. Magic is infected by the nanites. And there's a pretty cool, kind of creepy picture of her.
Yeah, there was a cover based on that also that was pretty good.
Okay.
So she gets infected with the nanites, and whereas up to this point, Ray or Bloodshot has had to kill the victims to reclaim the nanites.
Okay.
With her, you know, since he's become powerful enough now where he was almost able to just call the nanites to him without killing her, and the nanites left her body and went to his, which put him over the edge to actually becoming
he's Bloodshot.
His skin instantly becomes, you know, the very white, pale skin that Bloodshot has. And he immediately, you know, in his internal dialogue, saying that, well, now he's over the edge. He's not Ray anymore. He's now just Bloodshot. But then whenever she still, you know, kisses him, he's, like, taken aback, like, how does she still, you know, love me or want to be with me? And I think it kind of, you know, anchors him to that humanity a little bit. Which
that
is,
was nice.
Which is
that
good.
was very sweet. You know, you don't expect that from a book called Bloodshot. But
yeah,
but that was nice.
And then that big twist when we find out who the actual guy is, the other one that's going around killing people.
Well, then, yeah, on the last page, they all head. And the two agents and Ray to the back to the motel.
Yeah, he realizes where he's at, and he's right by the motel that he was staying at from the beginning.
So you get that creepy image of who is the kid on the bed with Bloodsport?
Well, remember in the very beginning of the series when he was staying there, and there was the woman who was the who ran the motel, and then there was her grandson.
I totally forgot about
that. And he was like watching cartoons with the grandson was watching cartoons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! I totally missed that. Okay, great.
Yeah, and he's sitting there, and Bloodsquirt is right next to him, and Bloodsquirt is essentially his, you know, the internal manifestation of the nanites.
That's great.
Bloodsquirt is who's like driving him to do things. So it's kind of cool that they made it seem like Bloodsquirt was, you know, almost like a hallucination or a vision that you're getting from these nanites as they're trying to like control your mind or manipulate you, and that's what's controlling him. So he killed his grandma, and she's lying dead in there, and he's
Okay, I totally forgot about that. Okay,
it was really very good way to tie it back to the very beginning of the series. Yeah. And something I wouldn't have expected up until this issue. Yeah. It was really cool. Yeah. Whenever they started talking about, you know, when they started figuring out and laying like a couple clues as to who it was, that's when I started to get an idea. But it was really well done. I liked it a lot.
It was very, so Jeff Lemire redeemed himself from
everything else that Jeff Lemire has done. I shouldn't say everything. I didn't like Extraordinary X-Men either, but most things that Jeff Lemire has done, I've absolutely loved. Like Sweet Tooth is one of my favorite series of all time.
Sweet Tooth is great.
Essex County, phenomenal. Yeah. Animal Man, like everything he's done has been great, except for Future's End. Although I will say this, his part that he wrote, like with Frankenstein and all that, I did like that aspect of Future's End. So
he was doing Green Arrow too, wasn't he?
I loved his run on Green Arrow. Him and Andrea Sorrentino.
That's right. Yeah.
They did the Outsiders War.
Uh-huh.
And that.
Well, let's go to the last week's Star Wars books. Vader Down, number one.
I thought it was good, just not a lot happened.
Yeah. That's where I'm at with that.
I thought it was good. I really liked the art. I loved
The art, I really liked.
Art by Mike Deodato. I thought it was really nice. I loved those X-Wing battle.
I haven't seen Deodato do anything for a while. Has he? I don't know.
He did Vader Down.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't you pay attention?
So Vader is his tract. In the last issue, I don't forget, it was Darth Vader. They find out where Luke Skywalker is. So Vader is a tract. Luke Skywalker to Vrogas Voss. And there's battalions
I
of...
I said that. Yeah.
Vrogas Voss.
Voss.
I'm just pretending I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah, that's not real. He's just making that up.
But it sounds just, Star Wars.
Yeah, it sounds
right.
So let's go with it, you know?
And he's met by battalions of X-Wing fighters. And
that was my favorite scene from the book. I thought all the movement from the fighting and stuff. And how
I think it was definitely one of the best, you know, best space battles in any of the...
We haven't really seen too many battles that. Yeah, they did a good job with that.
And one of the fighters turns out to be Luke and Vader. Vader says, finally, someone worthy enough to kill. Yeah. He's having such an easy time with most of the pilots. And so that's where they leave it, I guess. He gets surrounded
Basically, Luke knows it. He knows it's him. And Luke decides to just bring him down by crashing into him. And that's basically where it leaves you, where you're... they're on the planet, separated somewhere, but it's basically they're trying to make their first interaction with them. And not a lot. Like, the whole idea of titling it Vader Down, the reason why it's called Vader Down is because Vader is down. Like, it's just like, okay, but...
That's sad.
Yeah, he's a little down about stuff. I mean, he...
Vader's sad!
I mean, he did burn in a volcano, so... Poor guy.
Yeah.
Volcano planet.
No.
The planets in Star Wars crack me up.
No.
Snow planet. No. Volcano planet.
No.
Panda bear. But, no.
Panda bear.
I'm with Colin on that. It's just nothing. Not a lot. For this, I feel like it should
be $5 price tag. I guess, I've just read a lot of $5 books lately, especially like from Image. You just feel like you're getting more.
We can't really call Marvel's books $5 books. I mean, that's just their books. Like, that's how much they cost. It was okay. Really nice looking book, though.
I thought that was the main draw. I thought it was drawn very nice.
Yeah.
And Star Wars number 12.
I really liked it.
I did too. I really liked
it. That's my big thing. It was. I liked it. Even the little fan fiction-y thing where they all get lightsabers.
Well, yeah,
like,
no,
because
that's
how they had no weapons they could use.
Yeah, their blasters aren't working. They go. They're rescuing Luke from Gracchus the Hutt and fighting in the arena. And so for some reason, the blasters.
They set off
an
EMP.
Oh, the EMP.
He had an EMP in order in case he was taken by the Empire. That it would take it level the playing field.
So we get a cool image. So R2 brings them lightsabers, yeah. And we get a cool shot of Leia, Han, and Chewbacca brandishing lightsabers, which we've never seen.
And she's like,
before.
"I've always wanted to use one of these or something." Yeah. And then Han is like, the whole time he's using it, and he's just like, "I'm just trying not to cut my arms off." Is what his reaction.
Yeah, and
I could
see that because
he's trying to like use it, but he's not wanting to overdo it. He doesn't want to get fancy and spin it on one finger or something. Yeah.
That's why he's able to cut the Tauntaun open so smoothly.
He's the only.
He's that
non-Jedi person we'd be able to see him use a lightsaber.
Seeing Chewbacca with one.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
Why is Chewbacca's blaster a crossbow?
Never figured that out either. What's the point?
Makes no sense
Why is there really
no sense?
Because it is.
Like, if anything, he's handicapping himself.
Yeah.
When he could have a weapon that's so much smaller, but instead he's like, give me a giant crossbow that'll be very difficult to wield and carry around with me. I can't put it in a holster
at
all.
It's not like, I know does he use it with his hand or is it on his wrist?
The toy was on his wrist, but I think it was in his hand.
Was it? Because I was thinking, even if it wasn't, like, still, anything could just be a straight thing.
This
doesn't have to be a crossbow.
I never thought about this until today. There was, I think it was a Verizon commercial for Fios Internet, and it's Chewbacca and BB-8, and BB-8's trying to upload something, and stormtroopers are coming, and Chewbacca's like, standing there to hold them off, and then of course the upload speeds were poor because they didn't have the best Verizon package. So BB-8 couldn't upload
Chewbacca's
in time.
Chewbacca's like,
oh. And Chewbacca's panicking, and then the stormtroopers, you know, are starting to shoot, and Chewbacca has his big crossbow and he's shooting blaster shots, and I'm like, why?
Did he ever get the information downloaded though?
I don't think so. They...
It seems like Chewbacca just died at the end of the car. Doesn't it? Like, it doesn't seem like he was successful.
No, they really should have that 50 meg upload speeds.
That was his failure.
Yeah, so Chewbacca is just shooting with his crossbow and against four stormtroopers and BB-8's just like,
why does he need a bow in order to shoot a laser?
That's what I'm looking at. I'm like, it was so like prominently featured on the screen. I'm like, what? Yeah. One, Chewbacca has really pink lips. And two, why does he have a crossbow?
It's like
to
Josh's notes for podcast. Chewbacca's
pink
lips. And,
it's not like he has to like, you know, cock back the laser blast.
He's
and, like,
not doing
fling
that.
Him.
He shoots it like a gun. So really, it's a gun.
He's a Daryl Dixon of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. Daryl's makes sense though. It's silent. It's reusable. There's nothing. There's not a single. My challenge.
Starting to look like Chewbacca.
No, here's my challenge. There's not a prize to this. If any listeners have any reasonable excuse for why Chewbacca has a crossbow blaster, I would love to hear it.
Send it all to Colin.
Please send it to the podcast.
Maybe it was his dad's that has sentimental value.
Yeah. It was a regular crossbow, but he was like, convert it to a laser.
Yeah, it could be.
He's an idiot, then.
There'll be a comic book, Marvel Omega.
No, I'm serious. If there's any legitimate reason...
If they make a one where C-3PO gets a red arm, then they can make a one Chewbacca got
it. I have to think, through all the Expanded Universe stuff, that at some point, someone had to say, we have to give a reason why this crossbow makes sense.
No, they killed him off instead.
Did he have one when they showed him all the time in Episode 3? Were they using, like, crossbows?
I don't remember.
I don't recall. I don't remember.
It gives you a reason to go watch episode.
But, I mean, clearly the crossbow is prominent to where the Lego figures come with it. So, if you know why it's a crossbow, if there's a real reason for why it's a crossbow,
it's probably
the toy was a crossbow.
I really now want to know. Now that you bring this up, I want somebody to message us.
Maybe it's easier for him to handle with his... with his body than just holding the blaster.
But here's the thing, Dave. The actual...
I'm not... Whoa.
You got joshed.
Yeah. He just got
the handle part that goes in his hand is the same size as another blaster. So, like, here's...
Maybe he has shaky hands and he needs it to steady
a stabilizer.
So you think the arms on there or just for balance, like a tightrope walker carrying a pole?
Yeah. Well, he's a Wookiee. I don't know about Wookiee physiology.
Dave, close the door. Please leave.
Damn.
I'm going to see Christmas this year. Get out.
I didn't talk about Jughead yet.
His hand needs to be balanced. That's why there's the crossbow arms. It was a creative.
I'm just spitballing here. I'm not
saying. Oh, you're right. I shouldn't.
That's true, because you just told everybody to send that.
You're right. I'm sorry.
You can't second guess everybody.
I'm sorry for getting aggressive about it. I didn't mean to get all,
give us
all
your,
Wonder Woman
give
on
us
it.
Your ideas. Maybe he uses it to balance
even,
his hand.
Even
that's
if they sent you, like, where they. If anywhere in the expanded universe, even if they've sent.
I've just been
deep. Said it, we don't know. Like, message us about it. That's a good question.
That's the only reason I can think of.
Yeah, please give us your ideas. I will. We'll discuss them next week.
Maybe
with
a
less
a musical
angry tone.
Maybe he plays it.
This means you, Zach.
I hope somehow this gets to George Lucas and he writes and like. Well,
he would just make something up.
He'll be like,
anyway.
It was actually. Yeah, he'll just add it into one of the movies.
We'll all wear plaid shirts next week.
It'll be a whole thing. It was a gift from Jar Jar Binks.
Bantha like. Gave it or something. A glass of boiled milk.
Sorry.
And that's Josh's rant. That's a new segment.
Trademark.
I'll take it. I'll take that.
Come
segment.
Free with a case
it's
of blue
nice,
milk.
It's a nice segment. Yeah, a case of blue milk.
So, okay, last one I'll mention is last week's Jughead number 2. There's a new principal at Riverdale High School who has outlawed burgers in the cafeteria, so
what?
He's not getting. I know.
That's stupider than the crossbow.
Why Michelle Obama
it gets,
did it in regular?
It gets a little worse.
Their school lunches are just fine. The adult school lunches.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so he gets, and then there's a new gym teacher too, and he talks back to the gym teacher.
So, it's weird they hired like a part of a new staff in this whole
thing. Even though
the principal was let go.
So even though he goes to detention because of that, even though Mr. Flutesnoot's and watching the detention class.
Mr. Flutesnoot.
It's just funny that Dave just said
like a porn name.
That's the first time anyone's ever said Flutesnoot.
On this podcast.
Flutesnoot
and
Wookiee.
Yeah,
Dave's
first.
Title
of
the podcast. Flutesnoot and Wookiee physiology.
Wookiee physiology.
There you go.
We might give you that. Okay, Adam, you can come back.
Say. Oh.
So while he's in detention. While he's in detention, he gets a visit from Archie's, a long relative of Archie from the 29th century, who's part of the Time Police, which was an old Jughead series.
He's Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. Nice. Because in the future, Reg Mantlor is stealing all the world's nickel reserves. And he's known as Nickelfinger. So they need Archie to... Jughead to stop.
The whole idea.
And yes, I'm talking about this very serious.
He's very serious about his Jughead.
Very serious about the Jughead book. Of course, Jughead succeeds, and it's left open. Did this really happen? Did this not really happen? But then on the last page, they find a switchblade on Jughead's person.
Yeah.
And threatening expulsion.
They were just like, where did this come from? And he was just like, oh, that was not mine.
Yeah. Where'd you find that at, guys?
And then they call him Smughead.
It's not mine.
Then they call him Smughead.
Yeah, they call him Smughead. And that was Jughead.
So I think the writing's been good. The art's...
It's really?
Not,
I don't like the art
not the best
at all, but
places.
I don't like it on Squirrel Girl either.
Yeah.
So that's kind of ruining that part for me. The other thing about this book is that Archie is better. I don't know. I just like how all these characters are being written in Archie better than in Jughead.
Yeah.
It's just a little off. Jughead is—it's almost being written like old Jughead. which I don't want it to be old Jughead. I like the new kind of style of Jughead, where he's kind of this cool character. You know, he kind of just doesn't get involved with everybody, but he's obviously the smartest person.
Right.
There. Not bad. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
I like Archie better, though. I really do.
I think
Archie's been a good book.
Archie's a better book, yeah.
I like the art in Archie.
Yeah, I really like the art in Archie. Yeah. I think, I'd like to see a new artist on Jughead.
I think that would
help it.
It would help me, yeah.
I'm still stuck on Time Cop from the 29th century, and I can't get another Sabrina or Afterlife with Archie.
I know.
Time Cop was on TV the other day.
What was that? There was a variant.
I like Time Cop.
I watched it for
where he's reading
Afterlife with Archie, and I was looking at Colin. I was just like, "Well, he's getting to read it before everybody else." But it, the whole Time Cop thing, it turned out he's daydreaming through detention. He's sleeping.
Okay.
You're sleeping.
Because, yeah. I mean, if Ron Silver would have showed up and he had to push him into himself, and it just gets weird.
Jughead falls asleep in daydreams fantasy stories a lot in this book.
Yeah.
Like, the first one did that, then the second one does.
Yeah, they're incorporating all this.
Collins right now, he's sleeping. I think he's
incorporating all this old Jughead concepts.
He's in the past trying to stop Stanley. He's just like, no.
Like, and Colin, that's all I had. Go to Pat.
Okay.
Go to Pat.
First one is Deadpool, which I know none of you read other than me, and I don't think it's going to be me very long.
Whoa!
It's
you heard it here first, folks.
That's the revelation.
Breaking news.
The first issue was just kind of and this one was like, no. It's
that's Pat's
at least this one got a full word.
Yeah. Essentially, the whole issue was a riff off the A-Team. But Deadpool starts his own version of Heroes for Hire. Everyone's in a Deadpool costume. It's just really dumb.
For Deadpool.
Even for Deadpool. And then you find out at the end that the one that they think is actually Deadpool isn't Deadpool. It's probably Ajax, but they haven't shown who it is. But that's my guess who it is. I'm a Deadpool guy, and I'm just like, I don't know. Damn it.
Is it the same writer?
It's one of the same writers, because it was Jerry Duggan and Brian Poulsen before, and now it's just Jerry Duggan.
It just seems the direction that Marvel's going with a lot of these books, is they're trying to make everything all fun, and it's they're missing, like, the point of
I don't mind
having
that.
A plan for the book.
Deadpool is not supposed to be a serious book
I think they're just trying to do, like...
Yeah,
I don't think they have much plan behind any of their books. A lot of their books, not all of their books.
Yeah, I don't know. So, the next one is Bizarro. This was the last issue of Bizarro. When last we left, him and Jimmy Olsen were fighting because he found out Jimmy was trying to do a book about his road trip and didn't tell Bizarro. And in this issue, basically everyone that Bizarro has run into in the course of his adventure, you know, is now his friend and they're trying to help him. So then they get to the Canadian border and they've already been warned that he was coming and send him away. So they have to drive back to Metropolis. It was a cute book. It was an all-ages book, and there was nothing in this that was inappropriate for, even for little kids. It was just a fun story. The art was fine. This would get old if it was an ongoing, but for a six-issue mini, it worked.
Okay.
Batman and Robin Eternal.
I don't remember what happened in this book, but I read it.
Tim and Jason were together.
We'll bet.
And
it was a good issue.
What's that?
It was a good issue.
Yeah. And then Dick sends Cassandra and Harper into the opera, and for whatever reason, Cassandra gets really into the opera, and then we find out that Mother is waiting for... It seems like it's going to be Mother.
is waiting for Dick. Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah, yeah you did.
So, Mother's waiting for Grayson.
Where's Mother?
As hard as it is that she's waiting for Dick. As hard as it is to keep this podcast clean, this is all accidental.
Yeah. Yep. It.
Yeah.
So, I agree. I think it's been good. There hasn't been...
I like the past stuff. When they keep going into the past a little bit of the Bruce, and every issue gives you a little more about, like, what did Bruce do.
The way they drew Grayson, though, as Robin in the flashback in this, I think looked a little more like Tim Drake.
I forget what they did with his costume, because they did all those Zero issues, and they showed us each costume. I don't remember what they all looked like. I think Dick Grayson's was a little more green.
But it looked more like the animated series Robin, which was Tim Drake. You know, it was more that... not bad, but it was... You know, when I first looked at him, like, why is it this?
It was a good issue interaction between characters. So like Tim and Jason, like you were saying at the beginning, their interaction, what they were dealing with. Now that... You know, Dick Grayson is starting to act more and more like Bruce.
Yeah.
Where and maybe he'll start to understand why Bruce is like Bruce. And that was always their biggest argument, was, you know, how secretive he was, how he didn't let him in.
Yeah.
Maybe he's starting to understand that. I've liked this series. I really have. Besides the couple issues ago where it was just okay. It's been good.
Once the writer shifted again, this book's been really focused in and on point. It's really... been enjoyable.
So I just, any book that keeps you like guessing, like, what is this, like, what is going on,
and every single issue
gets that drive,
furthers that main story
and
the mythology behind it, which is
without
great.
Giving away too much. And it just,
that was one thing with Batman Eternal, like, it had so many different pieces moving initially before they all came together, that you would go into like lulls where you wouldn't, you know, see the story you may be interested in for a month. This, it's all like focused on that one story with like flashbacks, but still that main story gets progressed every time.
It's been good to be a Batman fan, really, because there's so much Batman out this year.
Well, you got Dark
Between
Knight, you got Europa, you got this, plus the regular Batman book.
And it's just all great so far, so.
Adam?
Okay, one, I don't know, did you read Kanan?
No.
That came out? Yeah, I think I did read that.
Yeah, it...
I forgot that came out last
week. Yeah, it... I like this book. I really do. It's one of my favorite Star Wars books, besides Darth Vader. Like, Darth Vader's number one. This is number two for me. Mm-hmm. It just... they went back in time a little bit. They're showing you when he was picked up. I guess it is his master... And I didn't realize it was.
Villaba,
I
thought
it was,
or something.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that was her. I forgot what she looked like at the beginning of that. But it's basically how he started up and, you know, gets his master. Yeah, and then it shows you that she takes on a new platoon of clone troopers. And these are the two that initially kill her.
During Order 66. Yeah, in the first issue they showed her being killed.
Yeah.
When Order 66 went down.
Yeah. And I've liked it. I've liked it because it's so different and they could work with these characters. Which has been, even though I did like the previous issue of Star Wars, has been one of my complaints earlier on about Star Wars, because the Star Wars book, they're characters that I already know a lot about. Mm-hmm. But these, I don't. And Darth Vader, him in a situation in the background where everybody's doing their thing in Star Wars. We never really saw what Darth Vader was doing unless he showed up.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a lot of it's good. I've really liked it, so.
Yeah, that's been really good, too, and I like the art.
Yeah, too. And I guess, I don't know if this is the end of that arc, because they haven't really concluded what happened
on
that planet.
It's been weird.
It seems like that was, like, the end of the flashback, but then the arc continues with what's happening in present time. When he's with the crew from Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, it's jumping all around in time.
Yeah.
And you think it ends and it just keeps going.
Yeah, it's very different. Yeah, it's fine. It's just very different how they're doing that.
Yeah.
How to separate arcs is kind of...
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I've really liked that.
It's been a good book since the beginning, yeah.
The other book that I read was Earth 2 Society, number 6. This book's okay. It's not coming back really from how it was, because I really liked it before when New 52 was doing it, and then...
Is this the earth-shattering news?
No, that was Star Wars that I liked it.
You didn't sell that right.
No. I didn't think it was. No, I wasn't trying to.
Boo. I thought you were going to say, you know what, I'm done with this.
I know, that's what I thought you were going to say too, yeah.
What?
That you were done with something.
No, that was it. Earth 2 Society, though, it's a good, I guess, sequel for Convergence, because it kind of leads you out of Convergence. They're on this planet trying to figure out. It's an interesting kind of take on a lot of characters we know, but they're kind of changing them up a little bit. Like a lot of Earth 2 characters, Flash and stuff like that. But it's another book that kind of doesn't have that drive going. Like it's we've been stuck on, like, we're in the 6 issues now and we haven't really moved on from what we knew from the preview, which was there's going to be like a civil war between Batgirl and Power Girl, or I'm sorry, Huntress and Power Girl, because they both have different ideas of what to do with the planet, and that's all we seem to know. And for 6 issues, I think it needs to move on. But I do like how they're introducing characters from Earth 2. We've been introduced to Our Man, which we were already told about. What's the drug that Thomas Wayne takes? That Miraculo? Wasn't that what Our Man is? What is it?
Miraculo? No.
It might be the same thing, really.
Miracle Girl.
Yeah. But it's that, whatever that drug was that he takes, and they brought that up that, he, you know, Our Man used it before, had used it earlier on in his previous continuity, but now he's talking about how he, you know, stole it from, or Thomas Wayne stole it from his father or something like that. It's kind of new history for these characters, so, and then different things with Jimmy Olsen's character, where he's become a villain called Mr. Impossible, and he's wanting to basically, he's on Huntress's side, where he's wanting to turn the Earth back into Earth, where everybody else is just like, no, let's keep it the way it is. You know, it already has its life on it. But I was looking at it, and I was just like, at the end of Convergence, the planet was kind of nothing. If I remember, it was like orange sand and then cities. So I don't know where all this life came from. That's what I'm having a hard time figuring out, where I guess maybe Talos was like, here, have alien life. If he was going to recreate their planet, why didn't he just put up life? So... It doesn't make much sense with
life
that.
Finds a way, Adam.
It is. Not if you're Huntress, then it's...
How many,
like,
planets have you created?
That's true.
I'm disappointed. None. I didn't think of that one.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would have got named.
Instead, you got Josh.
Yeah. You're stealing his thing. That's his thing. But still, I still like Earth 2. I think it's a fun book. I just wanted to be able to put through some of these pictures.
And Jupiter,
books.
It's big.
Oh, yeah. That's it for me.
All right, let's see. I read Pet number 3.
Nah.
Pat, you still
read it? Yeah, I read it.
Yeah.
It was
a little bit of a twist in there.
Yeah, a little strange. It kind of makes sense. You know, where the whole time Eugene thought his buddy got killed because he was a spy, and it turns out he got killed because he was gay, which, you know, obviously that was pre-Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so that would have been a big no-no.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of like, and the way they frame it is, like, you know, like the kid who told his brother about Chip and the I can't remember the other guys.
Lobach or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Them getting together, it was like he saw them kind of, you know, doing their thing a little bit. But so he started talking to his brother about it because he was confused about two guys. But he never really got around to
explaining the what they were doing and why he was confused. And once his brother, who was like a Communist Party bigwig, I guess, found out they were hanging out together at all, that was all he needed to whack them, because he didn't like that whole, you know, that they were together. He just immediately assumed something nefarious was going on, I guess.
So. Yeah. This hasn't been a bad story, but it's been kind of strange. The stuff with him and Bao, who was his fiance, that was a little weird. But I thought that was weird that she was now married to the guy that was like 30 years older than her to begin with.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, it seems like that's, you know, I mean, they've wrapped up the murder, so it's like that. The relationship with her seems
well. There's
like,
one
well,
issue left.
Up in
yeah,
the last issue kind yeah. of thing because it is sort of hanging out there. So, sorry, I kind of jumped in there.
No. I think you're right. That's really the only thing that's left to go.
But, so I don't have anything else with that one. Did you? Sorry.
Nuts.
Okay. So then the only other one I had.
The Pointless Dispute. Like, sorry, no.
No, I didn't.
You're wrong, but I'll let it go this time.
I don't think we were disputing. I think we were in agreement with that.
Yeah. But, I'll let you know if we're in dispute.
It won't be polite.
Where's your robot sorry, at?
Someone's going to pull out their crossbow blaster.
Yeah.
See,
at least we'll understand why it exists. They can explain it.
The only other book I read was Paybacks number 3. I don't know, is anybody still reading that one? I guess not.
No, and no. I don't know why I didn't pick up the second issue, because I really enjoyed the first issue.
Yeah, I mean, this
I think
one...
I think it was a super heavy week, so I didn't want to add on something extra.
Yeah, this one picks up, there's...
Every time you say that, Colin weeps just a little bit.
At the
DK3 came out today, he's fine.
At the end of the...
I'm rolling in it.
At the end of the second issue, Night-Night has discovered like that one of the identities on their payback team is supposedly deceased when they were at this undersea base. So it picks up with him questioning, it was him questioning Miss Adventure. So she kind of goes into the background of how she basically inherited, you know, that from the person who actually did have it. And then for him questioning her, she proceeds to smash his face in with a baseball bat. So they all end up back at their home base, and he's getting a little attention from there.
Seems like a reasonable reaction.
Their Dr. Black, I believe it is, who I guess is supposed to be like a Dr. Strange sort of thing. So whether or not he'll act, you know, I guess he'll heal him, although no one's convinced he's a real doctor, I guess. But so in the meantime, they get split up. For two more missions, there's one to like Egypt and then one to Spain for this, you know, bull type character. And so the two folks that go to Egypt, one of them is like Sisquitch, I believe, Sisquatch, who's this big sort of
Sasquatch?
Yeah. Well, they don't call him Sasquatch though, but he looks like a Sasquatch. And they actually catch someone, because all their targets that they're going to collect so far have been getting whacked before they get there. So they get there, and the target again has been whacked, but they catch the person sort of just post-act, and they're doing like graffiti on the wall kind of thing. They leave a little calling card. So they track them down, and of course nobody has any kind of communications down here, because they're in like some pyramid, you know, underneath tomb thing in Egypt there. And whoever it is they catch, it's got some kind of like suit and helmet sort of thing. And the one part I missed was how they get around to it. But somehow this suit actually, because it's been captured, like actually breaks the person's or the entity's own neck kind of thing. So they can't be captured sort of thing. And so they're stuck down there and they can't communicate. In the meantime, in Spain, they're getting ready to try to repo, you know, from this the bull character. And as they're doing that, you know, there's like a bunch of these things kind of swooping in sort of to make the move to eliminate their target. So that's kind of where it ended on that one. So that was kind of the ballpark on that one. And that was it for me.
Okay.
Thanks.
So what comes out next?
What comes out? Well, the first thing I want to talk about, Action Verse Zero comes out. And the reason that's important is Vito Del Sante will be here next Wednesday.
What?
From 4 to 7, signing his book. He was one of the writers on it. It's a book bringing together all the characters from the Action
lab universe into one big story. So you're going to have, yeah, all the different
characters. It sounds awesome. Like a universe.
Yeah, well,
I didn't know that.
Apparently it is.
Wow.
So.
Sorry.
Very. Yeah. But yeah, so Vito will be here. Please come by.
Get out of the house. Come do something different.
Yeah.
Get a book signed.
Get off the
talk
sofa.
Comics a little
Jeez.
Bit.
Zach, I expect to see you here.
And your new listener from Vermont.
Yes. Yeah. Michael?
I don't really have a name. Michael.
What? You didn't give us the name.
Yeah, we didn't get the name. On.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to give him a shout out.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think it's Michael.
If you're from Vermont and you've emailed Colin recently...
And your name might be Michael.
Your name might be Michael, and you started listening
it's
around
been
190.
A really long week.
Thank you for your email and for.
Well, he said I sounded sad when I was talking about all the prep for like this weekend, so that's why he wanted to email to give
He's
me support.
He's right.
You sound a little sad sometimes.
Do
yeah,
I? Oh, I don't mean to. I'm just tired. I mean, right now it's 10:30.
He's been here.
I've been here for
See, you're complaining now. That's
14
that's,
hours.
That's really just sad tones.
I want to.
He's turning back into Mr. Negative.
No. So, well, I do have one negative thing on next week.
Oh.
We'll get to that. So, you'll see.
Shock.
All new, all different Avengers 2. All new Inhumans. All new X-Men. So, that's the all new portion of our lineup. Or, I'm sorry, all new X-Men number one and Inhumans number one. So those are finally
book
starting.
Rules where they're wanting to be in the A section, all of them.
Black Jack Ketchum. I'm not... It's an Image book. I sadly don't remember.
Gotta catch them all.
Daredevil number one with the cosplay variant. Oh, yeah. The DC Comics Batgirl statue, which is a bigger one like the TV show ones, and it's color. So it was the black and white, but they decided to make one big, too.
It's cool.
Also, the DC Comics Cover Girls Catwoman statue. Doctor Strange number 3, that one has done very well. I was talking about that today. Extraordinary X-Men number 3. Guardians of Infinity number 1. Harley's Little Black Book comes out next week, along with the variant, which I think is the bagged variant. It's the first one. It's the only one of that coming so far.
Yeah, because I thought the rest didn't come until next month.
I think it's going to be November, but this week this week is
like
a little
January.
Light because, like, I'm looking DC wise. We
next
have...
week is December.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. That's
so
what I meant.
Okay.
Right, but it's a December variant thing. But the thing is, there I didn't highlight all the DC ones, but I noticed like there's Action, but no Detective.
All of them. Had
it. Well, not all of them had it, but this is kind of a it seems to be a lighter week. Like it's a five Wednesday month because we're not having a skip week this year.
Okay.
Because both holidays fall on a Friday, so they can get the stuff out like on Monday to get it to us on time. So we're not having a skip week, so it is a five Wednesday month. So they might. It looks like they're taking this first week a little bit off. Howard the Duck 2, a bunch of Image first. I'm not quite sure why, but I'll take them. Invincible Iron Man 4, the iZombie Omnibus, good Christmas present. James Bond 2. Dave.
I thought you were the only one that read that.
No, but I just remember Dave did. My memory at this point is gone.
Oh, I read it.
Dark Horse has one called Mystery Girl. Nova number 2. Oxymoron number 4.
Why
the last
you look
issue
at
of
Rich?
That. Because he's reading it.
I like how you keep getting yelled at for pointing out people.
I know.
Yeah. Paper Girls and Plutona from Image. Prez number 6, which may be the last one. Just a little, not editorial, but I was looking at the sales charts. Prez isn't doing it. It's like under 10 grand. And Omega Men is right around 10 grand. So I definitely understand what DC was saying, where I'm sure there were more than 10,000 people online complaining about the cancellation of Omega Men.
But not 10,000.
But it's selling under 10,000.
Sad because both of those are great books.
Yep.
Private Eye is the book we were trying to come up with. That ships next week. Private Eye, the Brian K. Vaughan, Marcos Martin.
It was
the digital one. Yeah. Red Wolf number 1 because you demanded it. Robin War number 1 is starting.
Yeah.
Seduction of the Innocent. I like that. I think it's an Image book.
Pat?
Or no. No, I'm not sure who's doing it. But. Now that I think about it, I think it's Dynamite.
I just think it's Dynamite seducing the innocent.
In sophomore year in high school, I did a paper on the book Seduction of the Innocent, and my teacher
failed
way over his head. He had no idea what I was talking about. Sheriff of Babylon is, I think, the next Vertigo book. Spidey, number one, is the all-ages Spider-Man book, kind of ish.
Yeah.
Coming from Marvel. We also have Star Wars 13, the next part of Vader Down. Adam's looking forward to this one, Totally Awesome Hulk. Unfollow, number two.
No.
Vision, number two, which I love, where my order dropped from one to two, and so they're sending me enough copies to match.
It dropped from one to two?
Well, I cut my order. Because they didn't sell out.
Oh, from number one to number two.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, when you say it dropped from one to two, I'm two would be an increase.
Gotcha, no.
Yeah, they said they were sending them all for free to sell. Yeah. You would have them on your shelf because your guess was wrong.
Right.
Because you demanded it.
Yeah. Nothing about the sales chart. XO Man of War Commander Trill. And then the one I want to talk about was, where is Jake Ellis number five? And I laughed.
Don't get yourself in trouble,
man. I am going to get myself in trouble because I laughed because it says RES after it, which means it was resolicited. So I decided to see when it was resolicited from. It was resolicited from January 2013. And so I decided to go back and look. And number three shipped on March 12th, 2013. Four shipped August 12th, 2014. That's where I got in trouble because I went online and said that 17 months is too long between books. So it's just kind of funny that now it's been another, 15 months between four
better
and five.
Than 17.
Just because of this, though, yeah. When we were sorting out the back issues, we left it in there because we're like, it might come
did
back.
You, yeah, it might come back. So
it's like an issue or two.
That book just has the most meta title of all of these.
Oh, I know. And well, that's what I said back in August of 2014. I tweeted because I had.
Well,
it wasn't on the shelf, and it wasn't on the shelf, and I went and I decided to look to see when the last one came, and I saw it was March 2013. It's trying to figure out, did I just pull it?
He was like, I thought you were in the business of selling.
Right, and I tweeted, where
I can
is
only sell
up.
What I
That's
have.
What you yeah, you tweeted him, shut up.
But yeah. I said it's been 18 months between issues of Where is Jake Ellis? I'm going to say people have stopped asking, was my exact tweet.
Did you tweet it directly to him?
No, I just tweeted it in general, and he must have searched on it. And God, I thought you were in the business of selling comics, and I should
I thought
now,
you were in the business of making comics.
I should now respond to him in that regard. That was, sorry, that was redonkulous.
Wow.
Whoa.
That was redonkulous.
Thank you,
just
that was redonkulous.
So I'm closed Thursday, as you will know, because if you come by,
typical.
It was typical.
I bet I'll be eating.
Yeah, I will be eating. And then Friday,
kids these days,
I'm going to
no
be opening
right?
as close to 9 as I can. I just realized I have to go to the bank in the morning, so I will get here like at 9:10. That's why I decided to write the board just now. I'm like, because I'm not going to have time Friday morning. So I'll be here as close to 9 as possible.
Have Adam open up on Friday.
No. Sure. Adam, you want to be here at 9? Adam doesn't get out of bed till 1.
Yeah.
Adam doesn't go to bed till like 8:15.
Yeah. Because he's binge watching.
I know. Anytime Adam has to email me or send me a message, it's always like
2 a.m.
It's always like 1 in the morning or 12:30 at night.
That's when I finally get on the computer.
Why aren't you responding to me?
No, I don't do that.
Why aren't you answering?
I just message.
Are you mad at me?
Yeah. No, that's somebody else.
So the Black Friday sale is posted. You've probably already seen it.
Yeah, we're sitting here.
As I'm speaking. and the, not here. Black Friday sales up. The Small Business Saturday Local Comic Shop Day is up for Saturday. After that, don't really have any plans for Sunday, Monday, because I will be out of town.
But it's a small world.
Supposedly happy.
He's going to be that one guy, like, with the Mickey ears
on. Do any of your family members listen to this?
No, I will be.
They're
going
to be like, it's the grumpy cat.
He'll be happy when he's back at the airport coming back home.
No, I will be as happy as I can.
I still want you to go to Hollywood Studios and get your picture taken with Baymax.
I think I hate you.
if you have to think about it, then yeah, then you don't really do.
So.
That's a podcast.
We'll
Wait,
talk.
Where do they find you?
I'm sorry. You can find me not tomorrow at the store, but the rest of the weekend at the store.
No, not the rest of the weekend.
Oh, Friday and Saturday, back off.
you just contradicted yourself earlier on.
Find me. The website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter is @PGH Comics. Instagram, I think, is at PGH Comics, which isn't super exciting.
But
I did.
I kept it clean, though. He didn't go overboard. It was like, yo, Pat. No.
What am I going to say?
You could have said a lot worse.
Well, I did.
I heard a lot worse.
I'll mutter that in the car on the way home.
He lets it all out, though.
So
he'll just text it to me.
That's a podcast.
Thank you. I want to go home. We'll talk to you next week. See ya. Happy Thanksgiving.